much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, you know, I probably shouldn't have mentioned on the phone that I'm not a little boy.
Oh, no, no, no.
I'm 25.
Age is not a concern of mine. Now, have a seat on that tiny little chair and let's begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
And the answer that I think I always ask, and I'm sure it can't possibly be this simple, is stop it.
I am unable to even. I have lost my ability to even. I am so unable to even. Oh, my God.
Then you became a morning shock jock and created the sport Taint Ball.
Yeah.
Where can people go to get information and be, you know, turn the ignorance around?
Hey, man.
You.
And now.
I know we suck. I know we're taking a risk. It's a leap of faith.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 16th of February.
What's up, you guys?
Hi, Bean.
Hi, Bean.
How was everybody's weekend?
So good.
Three-day weekends are the thing that should happen, right?
I really enjoyed it.
I tried to start that earlier this year and just come in 3 days a week.
You did it strong. It was really a few weeks in a row.
It's really cool. You were on to something, man. I think we mocked you, but right. I think you were right.
Yeah. Thank you.
That is totally what we should do, because you wake up on Sunday, and usually, for most people, I suspect, you go, oh, I got back to work tomorrow.
Yeah,
this
that
is
dread
it.
Kicks in.
The dread kicks in. But this weekend, you woke up on Sunday, and you went, it's practically Saturday. Just felt so good. So anyway, it was fun. It was good. It was nice. But are we going to cram 5 days worth of quality Kevin and Bean entertainment into the 4 days that we've been given to work here?
Define quality.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, are we going to make up for that lost day with entertainment?
Well, I mean, I think we're going to try.
Okay.
Will we accomplish it? I don't know.
See, yeah. I didn't even know we were going to try.
That's also a surprise to me, actually. Well, listen, ordinarily we come on in the morning and I say, oh, we got a big show, but let me tell you about this guy in Texas who ate poop or whatever the story is. But today I want to bring up something. I'm starting to have some concerns, and tell me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
To worry.
What? You're wrong.
How come?
I don't think he's started the story yet.
Oh, you're just assuming I'm wrong.
Just assuming.
Yeah. Allie, you're the sensitive one in the bunch.
Yeah.
Am I wrong to worry sincerely about Kanye West?
Not at all.
I'm starting to have Amanda Bynes feelings.
Yeah.
Like it's not funny anymore.
No, he's completely manic.
Something's going on, right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Over the weekend, a lot of things happened with Kanye. He performed on Saturday Night Live and was not good, for starters.
I saw the video of one of those performances, the one that's completely auto-tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It was terrible. Right. It was not good. It seemed
shockingly bad.
Unrehearsed. He seemed unfocused. It did not look good. The second one was better, but then Kanye was barely on it. I think he only sang for 30 seconds on the whole song. It was a bunch of guest stars on that second song. Okay. So he's finished the album, remember, and he put it out finally. It was supposed to be out on Friday, tweeted it was coming out on Friday, and then it didn't come out, and then it didn't come out all day Saturday, and then they released it to Tidal and on his website during Saturday Night Live. And he screamed unintelligibly. You can go and download the album now. The next day, he pulled the album from sale. You can no longer buy the album. And said he's not going to sell it. He's decided not to sell it at all.
Because it sucks, I imagine.
No, the album is getting great reviews. Great reviews.
Oh, so the performances on Saturday Night Live weren't the songs, they were just the performances?
The performances, okay. Right, exactly. Yeah, the album's getting great reviews. So he's pulled the album and said he's not going to sell it now, which has got to be, I don't know, that's got to be a surprise to his record company that was, you know, kind of hoping to make some money off of it.
Sure.
So that's gone. He also tweeted that he is $53 million in debt. He also started asking people like Mark Zuckerberg to give him money because he has lots of big ideas of things that he wants to do. What's that about, by the way, Allie?
I don't know. How much did he ask for? A billion?
$1 billion from Mark Zuckerberg, yeah.
He asked for a billion?
Yeah, and then asked all of his followers to tweet, Instagram, do whatever they can to get Mark Zuckerberg's attention.
To give him $1 billion.
Because he needs to release this art.
Right. He also, at one point over the weekend, he talked about how he was never going to go to the Grammys again unless they guaranteed him ahead of time Album of the Year, but that he was at that moment currently practicing his acceptance speech. He also asked white publications to no longer review or talk about black music. So in other words, if you're Pitchfork or Rolling Stone or Spin or something like that, you're not allowed to talk about black music.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Because you don't know what it's like to be a to be a descendant of slaves and to have made it as far as he has. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And I'm starting to get to the point where and Rhymefest, one of his collaborators on the new album, tweeted a serious tweet over the weekend saying, "My brother needs mental health help."
Wow.
So that's somebody who knows him and has worked with him who says he ain't right. So I guess I bring this up first thing to know, are we not allowed to make fun of crazy Kanye anymore? Or now do we have to look at every new thing that happens? And I'm sure something will happen today. And do we have to go, ooh, that's sad?
No, we don't have to do that. Until it comes out for sure what it is, I think we're good. Mm-hmm. We just assume that he's just being wacky because it's more fun that way. That's how I judge things.
Yeah, because that way we can enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the guy is a complete and utter jackass. I've thought this for years anyway.
But that's still funny.
But this took a turn this weekend where I thought, okay, this is some serious manic stuff happening. He cannot stop himself from tweeting this stuff. He cannot do it. I don't know. He's a mess.
He is a mess. I'm glad I'm not the only one who had that concern. So,
I'm concerned that he's a mess, but I would like to put off feeling bad for him for a while. If we can.
You want to get a little more fun out of it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's good times. I mean, I enjoy it as long as it's just him being angry or whatever. That's fun.
He definitely has. I mean, he is in. If nothing else, he probably needs medication, but he definitely needs a therapist. There's no question he's got.
Sure.
He's got some unresolved rage issues up on a number of different topics.
I would say on all topics.
Maybe so. So anyway, so I don't want to start us off on a down note.
No, that was funny.
But that's what I'm thinking.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Come at me, bro.
As if Kanye doesn't have enough trouble, Bean is now beefing with him. So you got that going on.
Yeah.
And Bean apparently recorded a diss track over the weekend.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Strange,
oh,
right?
Oh, God. I'm looking forward to playing that for you, that thing that I recorded.
Sean White will be in studio. He's bringing Aaron Style back to Southern California, so we're going to talk to him. Very excited about that. We have the Bachelor Report on today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have a complete recap of the Grammys. We're going to talk to the weed editor for the Denver Post, and I just love that there's a weed editor. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. He has a movie out called Rolling Papers about what legalization has done in Colorado, good or bad?
That's right. Okay, it's about the first year of marijuana being available recreationally in Colorado.
Harvey Levin from TMZ, as we do on Mondays, although it's Tuesday, we didn't work yesterday, and Beer Mug has some Grammy Roundtable. I guess you could call them interviews.
That's all I care about.
I guess. I mean, if you use the word loosely, they're interviews.
I did see a picture on the Kevin Bean Instagram account of him standing with James Bay, so I know he got to someone.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And Chris Hardwick will be on the show today, too, talking about The Walking Dead and how Carl should have died. All right, so that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat Night. Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
As you know, at the start of every week, we unveil a new destination for the K-Rock World Tour 2016. Check this out, you guys. It's the band The Cure in a city called Rome.
Oh.
Way, Rome. Yes. I heard that. Rome. That's Alaska, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Rome, Alaska, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
So we're giving away tickets to see The Cure at one of their sold-out Hollywood Bowl shows, and then you're on the standby boarding list to see the band in Italy. Your chance to win is coming up. Ralph is here now for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. Kevin Abid Show, what's going on?
First thing, regarding your conversation at the top of the show about Kanye West, and is it funny or not that he's going down in flames?
Off the rails, right.
Awesome. Hilarious. Could not
really?
Be better. Could
what if
not
it's be mental better. Illness, though?
Even better.
No.
Yes. Makes it better.
No. Yes.
That adds to it for
he's,
you.
He's just a piece of garbage. And so you have to root for the bad guys to lose. That's the way the game is played. You cheer for the heroes and you boo for the villains.
But what
that's
if he's...
That's how it works.
Isn't he not responsible for his bad behavior if it's mental illness, though?
Well, has it always been mental illness forever?
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. Oh,
so
no,
all this douchebaggery earlier,
yes,
he's still accountable for that, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Then this would be called, file this under comeuppance. Put this under karma. Put this under just desserts. There's all kinds of files in the cabinet you can slide this into. Broke and in a home in a straitjacket. Awesome! Let that be so.
And by the way, can we take some satisfaction out of Kim Kardashian having to be married to him? Because that
even
must
better,
be a nightmare.
Just, the ripple effects are just the karmic backlash, the universe writing itself, things achieving balance. It's just awesome. It couldn't be better.
Right.
It couldn't be better. Could not be better.
I do feel better about it now. Thank you, Ralph.
Right. See, that's what I'm here to give you a little perspective. Couldn't be better. Broke, nuts, drooling on himself, babbling. Thank you, universe.
Although, as a white person, you really have no standing to comment.
That's true. Good point. I didn't realize that. That's first business. Second
right.
business.
Second business.
Deadpool. Right?
Dead.
Yeah!
Deadpool mother effer.
Right?
Yeah.
All the Deadpool.
So great.
So great.
Yep.
So great.
So great.
Can't remember the last time I've thoroughly enjoyed, without reservation, deeply, beginning to end, a motion picture.
So you guys didn't like it?
It was deeply satisfying on every possible level. It was a romantic film. It had heart. It had action. It had laughs. It was terrific.
Laugh, cry,
sad, all the arts. All the arts were present in Deadpool. So I know because it's Tuesday, we're not doing the box office, but it made all money as well. And I just couldn't be happier because I just loved that damn film so much.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking as the box office kept going up and up and up, you know, from 50 to 70 to 90 to 110 to 150, I kept thinking, Hollywood knows nothing. They couldn't have tried harder to stop this movie from being made.
Right.
And then they did nothing but underestimate how popular it was.
Right. And now all we're going to do is get pale Deadpool copies now for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
We're going to get raunchy superhero movies that won't have nearly the brains or the heart of this film. And we're going to have to suffer through those pale imitators. And so it's just... that's okay because
99% of Hollywood is followers.
Yes, and so that. I know you guys are going to do a complete Grammy recap in just a little bit later on in the show, but I did want to mention the big winners from last night: Uptown Funk, Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars got Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Thinking Out Loud, Ed Sheeran. Best New Artist, Meghan Trainor. They're nothing if not consistent, the Grammys, aren't they? We'll be putting her in a game next year or a couple years from now.
I'm surprised by that as well.
Yeah,
that
was,
she was.
I think she was, but good for her. She seems like a nice girl. And the Album of the Year went to Taylor Swift for 1989. And I was glad that Taylor had a chance to get up there and remind us all what a victim she is. Oh, what degree of success will she achieve where she will no longer feel so put upon and so oppressed?
Well, she was addressing the misogyny that is Kanye West. So
I understand what she was doing.
I appreciate it.
She's got all the money and all the awards.
But she didn't say a word about it until that moment. I thought it was a perfect mic drop moment for her.
It's your chance to take a victory lap and say, here I am, I did good work. Not, people will try to put you down and take responsibility for your fame and for your talent. And I was like, You won the award. That's the speech you give when you lose the award. You won the award, little girl. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself up there. But no, she's still, it's hard being her, man.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job being Taylor.
She I thought it was great.
She got slapped down, man.
It was wonderful.
And Kendrick Lamar apparently is in prison. That's what I heard now. No, just, they put him in prison last night?
It looked like
I did not see it. I did not see the performance, but he was in prison. So sad news for him. He seems
terrible timing that they came and arrested the man right as he's performing
couldn't
on stage at the Grammys.
Couldn't they wait until afterwards?
Meet him backstage. Don't embarrass him in front of the nation.
Right. And one last mention of the Grammys. Besides Gwen Stefani's live music video, she did it. Right?
I didn't even see that. Was it good?
Oh, she's just adorable. She's just Marilyn Monroe. All over the place.
It was very impressive.
Very impressive.
If they really did all of that live, that took...
And to my account, from what I understand, it was completely live.
That's it's unbelievable.
Set changes, costume changes, just...
Yeah. And she roller skated on live TV?
Yeah.
That's ballsy.
Crazy. And just the production value was very, very impressive.
And it's a good song, too.
It's very catchy and very Gwen. And then Dave Grohl singing Lionel Richie. That's all you need. That's all you need right there, I think. Show me that for an hour. I just want to see Dave Grohl work through the catalog of Lionel Richie. It was so strange, but at the same time, so very pleasing.
I didn't see Dave Grohl singing Lionel Richie. He wasn't part of the Lionel Richie tribute that they did on stage.
No, it was the Saturday Night Music Cares.
At Music Cares, right.
Person of the Year Award that went to Lionel Richie. Dave got up on stage and sang, "You Are." Lionel's classic song, "You Are," and it's available on video, and you can watch it, and it's really entertaining.
I wish they had done that instead of Luke Bryan singing "Penny Lover" on the telecast, which was just didn't make any sense at all.
You know what? You're not allowed to talk about Luke Bryan, okay?
But I think he is because he's country.
Let that be for the country artists, country stations, and the country magazines. They can talk about Luke.
Stay
Bryan.
In your lane. That's the message. Okay.
And while we're talking about music news, sad news, Vanity. You remember Vanity? Prince's protege, leader of the 80s girl group, Vanity 6.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
She was, well, besides that, she was also talented.
Sure. That's what I meant.
She's been battling serious ailments for a while now, kidney failure being among them. She passed away at the age of 57.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She was one of Prince's. He went through a series of female proteges back in the 80s, and Vanity 6 was certainly one of the biggest, if not the biggest. Nasty Girl was their big hit, 1982. Remember Nasty Girl? I'm looking for a man that'll do it anywhere. Even if I'm in a sea world. To me, I'm living in a fantasy. My own little nasty world. To me, don't you want to come with me? Do you think I'm a nasty girl? Allie knows all the dance moves to that.
That song
became a crack addict in the 90s, almost overdosed in 1994. That's what damaged her kidneys, they say. So she had a difficult life. Became a Christian minister towards the end of her life. Found God. And for people like that who are able to overcome addiction and then find Jesus and it helps them, I applaud that. I think it's the best possible use of religion because she found something that made her whole again. And sad news, she passed.
But I think the best remembrance is a guy I heard on the radio whose comment was, "Yeah, but she was pretty hot."
That's true. One guy said that.
I didn't know all the stuff that came after.
At least he had perspective. That's all that matters.
I didn't know the story at that point.
It was strong, and once again, you've...
That was a good takeaway.
You've proven to be a valuable asset.
Thank you, Ralph.
You're welcome. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ice, Mother Love, and Tea, right?
Right.
Yes. Rapper, actor, 58 years old today. Duran Duran, guitarist Andy Taylor is 55. Actress Elizabeth Olsen of the Acting Olsens. Well, some of them act. The other ones just make those big eyes in pictures and sew dresses. I'm not sure what they're up to. Elizabeth is 27. And The Weeknd. Weeknd.
It's just
very
the
popular
weekend.
Singer. The Weeknd. Kevin, let me once again correct you. It's
okay.
W-E-E-K. Endy.
Endy, right.
I'm familiar how to spell weekend. I know how to spell weekend.
So it's spelled correctly, but it said the weekend.
Mm, You don't get that.
Okay.
If you're not spelling it right, you don't get to say it right. Just pick one.
All right.
Weekend is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show beat.
Kevin, you'll never read it because it's way too long for you, but there's a fascinating article that The New Yorker put out a couple of days ago about TMZ, about the history of TMZ, the long 10 years at TMZ and how they have changed journalism. And they say at one point that they're really more of an intelligence agency than they are a newsroom. And I thought that is a high compliment because TMZ knows what it's doing, and we're so pleased, as we do every week, to talk to our friend Harvey Levin from the TMZ newsroom right now. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys. We're good. How's it going? Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Whatever.
I'm so excited about this video. Oh, my God. We just put this up on the website. Who's the most famous musician in the world?
Paul McCartney.
He got denied at an after party last night. And we have it on video.
What party would deny him?
No, you're not going to believe this. We just put this up in the... I'm serious. I think this is the best video of the year so far. So, Paul McCartney, Beck, and Taylor Hawkins from the Foo Fighters...
Right. Mm-hmm.
They go to the Argyle nightclub, and Tyga's having an after party there. You got to see this video. They go to the door, and they talk to the guard, and the guard is not having them at all. And he's basically just telling them, sorry, guys, you can't come in. And Paul looks at them, and the best line, Paul says, here, I'm going to pull it up on the site because it's so good. Paul says, how VIP do we got to get? We need another hit? So they start to walk away. They come back again, and they talk to the guard for another minute. And he will not let them in.
This is unbelievable. It's
unbelievable. And they leave.
I feel like at a music event, all those parties have guest lists, but the guest list is irrelevant if
irrelevant.
Paul McCartney
yeah.
walks
irrelevant.
Up.
Absolutely.
You let him in anywhere.
So in the video, Harvey, can you see the security guard who is denying what? Them?
You mean the guy that we are just looking everywhere for?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
to get on TMZ Live today, yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Because I am wondering, is this just a case where the guy is 22 years old and a black guy and has no idea
no.
who Beck,
why
Foo Fighters, or Paul
McCartney?
Well, because I'm saying he wouldn't recognize Beck or Taylor Hawkins either. That's why. I'm just wondering if that's what's going on here.
Look, there are several people at the door, and these guys don't get in.
That's insane.
That's yeah. awesome.
Insane. You've got to see this. So they went over to the Republic Records party and just treated like royalty. In fact, they wanted Paul to go to the VIP section. He said, no, I want to just party with the rest of the crowd. He was dancing all night and just having a great time. They oh, my gosh. And then you should see we got Bow Wow and Tyga coming out of the party. They had no idea that Paul was turned away, and they just flipped out.
I wonder why Paul McCartney wanted to go to a Tyga party. Like, what did
I
they have in common?
The same thing.
That is weird. All right. Well, that's at the top of TMZ.com right
so
now.
Good.
We're going to be talking a lot about the Grammys on our show later on today and playing highlights and stuff, Harvey. But any takeaways that you want to mention? Like the Taylor Kanye beef sure seems to be alive, doesn't it?
Oh, she is livid at him.
Yeah.
For all sorts of reasons, we're told. Some of which I think are going to probably come out in the next couple of days. But it all has to do with this, you know, the track of I Made You Famous, Bitch.
Right.
And you know, he stands by it and says, look, we had an hour-long conversation, and she said, great, and she said that that's just not true. So when she got up there, she was pissed.
Oh, she had her mad face on. This was not the Taylor of previous award shows where you see her laughing and joking and dancing throughout the night. She was just sitting there seething, waiting for her opportunity to get up on stage so she could put Kanye on blast. That's my take.
Pissed.
All right. We're almost out of time here, Harvey. You promised us last week when we asked you about the OJ trial, because we're all fascinated with the miniseries on FX. You said you gave 3 years of your life to covering the OJ trial. And
correct.
You said you had a story about, and I think you said it had something to do with running into or almost running into OJ as he returned from the flight from Chicago to come home to face the music.
Not exactly, but I'll tell you the story.
Yes.
So, look, I covered the trial wall to wall, and OJ did not like me because I was just all over this trial, and you know, and I knew he was guilty, and you know, so we were doing a lot of stories when I worked at CBS in LA, and so Now, go past the criminal trial, okay, about two months after the criminal trial, after he gets acquitted. And I was taking a friend of mine to the, because she hadn't seen the alleyway. And I always thought that the alley behind the condo was where O.J. made his escape. And I'm pretty sure that's true. Mm-hmm. So I took her to the alleyway, and it was on a Saturday, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And there's a limo, an old black limo in front of the condo. And I was right behind it. And I looked, and I thought, and I just looked at the limo, and I didn't really think anything. I thought it was a tourist at first. And I see this driver look in the rearview mirror. He sees me, and then all of a sudden, he just takes off. But he took off too fast. It was like he gunned it. And I thought, something's up. So I start following the limo. And
I like that about you. I like that you followed. I like that.
No, because I swear to God, I had this sense there was something going on, and I had a feeling, could it be? And so I'm following this this limo through the alley up to the first street, and the guy turns left, and I turn left, and he's going faster and faster, and I'm following this limo, and then he makes a hard right, and then it's clear to me he's trying to lose me. And so I'm weaving around. And by this time, I think, is it possible it's O.J. Simpson?
Sure.
And so I am weaving back and forth. I mean, it wasn't crazy, but we got to Sunset, and you have to cross Sunset to get to Rockingham, where O.J. lived. And so the limo made it across the street, and I couldn't because of traffic. So I knew a shortcut to get to Rockingham because I had done so many stories on this. That I took, I think, Bristol over to Rockingham, and I made up some time. I got to 360 Rockingham, and just as I got there, the limo is in front of the house, and somebody is running inside the house. I didn't see his face, but I saw the person.
Wow.
That was racing inside the house. Got out of the limo.
Wow.
How about that? Why would O.J. have been over at the alley? Was he looking to kill again?
No, but have you
I'm guessing
ever
not.
Have you ever heard the old saying?
Return to the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that's something else.
A, that's something else. B, how bad a driver are you that a limo lost you?
Right?
Come on, Harvey.
Come on.
You stick on that limo.
And let's discuss that he's bringing his friends to alleys when they come to visit. I mean, come on, Harvey.
Harvey knows how to live.
Well, if the TMZ tour had existed back then, you would have been in business. You could have just taken that. All right. South of Wilshire is the TMZ game show that airs Monday through Friday on Channel 13 at 5:30. TMZ Sports, of course, airs at midnight on Fox Sports 1. TMZ Live at 4 on Fox 11. And then throughout the day, numerous times for the original TMZ show. Great talk, Harvey. As always, we appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week.
See you guys.
Thank you. Bye. The Bachelor Report with Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis coming up at 8 o'clock this morning, like we do. Also, Chris Hardwick talks the return of The Walking Dead on the program today and a complete recap of last night's Grammys show with lots of audio. Speaking of the Grammys, Muggs, your annual visit to the Grammy Roundtable. This is the opportunity that the media have to interview bunches of people, some of whom are associated with the show, a lot of people who are just there to get interviewed, right?
Each year, not only does the actual event get better, but I get better along with it.
Oh, I believe that's true, yes.
Yes.
That is very true. Muggs starts by doing a mic check to make sure that the levels are right and everything's good. But about 3 seconds in, changes to talking about all of his personal problems. Muggs likes to talk about himself. Mm-hmm. That's what this will show you.
Test. Level test check. 1, 2. Oh, heartburn. I just take Tums to keep it at bay. Definitely my diet has to contribute to my heartburn. Greasy foods all the time. Yeah, there's probably holes in my esophagus by now. I'm going to die soon. That's going
to
happen.
Did you hear anyone else in that?
Nope. It was just Muggs talking to Muggs. What I love, though, is all the money Beer Muggs saves on therapy because he doesn't need another person to
it's
be
true.
Listening. He can just say it out loud and it gets it out of his system.
It works that way.
So Muggs is interviewing the band Sick Puppies.
Sick Puppies.
And see if you can make sense of this question.
Do you guys find that, like, when you're writing a song and performing it, if you find yourself, like, hours and hours... It's not really kind of going the direction you want. Step away and come back and hear it. Does that help you guys?
Absolutely. That question wasn't going the way I wanted.
The guy from Sick Puppies is a better man than I am.
He just absolutely, there's no time for him to say anything else after that.
Wow.
So Brian from Sick Puppies makes the mistake of asking Muggs a question about Muggs.
Oh, no.
And it's about the tattoo of the beer mug, which is where he got his nickname from. And he explains at length.
And the reason I got that tattoo was I was outside of the, which was then the Key Club. I don't know if it's still there on Sunset anymore. And I was about 240 ounces deep. And Shamrock Tattoo was across the street. And I just got this crazy, hey, I'm going to go get a stupid tattoo of something. I've always wanted a stupid, I mean, I have a whole sleeve or whatever. And my leg is done. But I always wanted a stupid tattoo. And I decided, hey, I'm going to go across the street. Didn't know what it was going to be. Walked in. I was like, I'm hammered off 40 ounces. Why not get a beer-related tattoo? So I got on the top of my foot. I've regretted it ever since.
So were they, did they get up and walk away?
No.
They were listened intrigued. To that whole thing?
Intriguing.
That was more detail than they ever possibly could have wanted.
That's more detail than we've ever heard. We work with Muggs.
All they really needed was, I was drunk.
Right.
Tell me about the beer mug. I was drunk. That's it.
If he wants the long version, I was drunk and there was a tattoo parlor across the street. That's it. That's the long version.
But while concise, super boring. I have to add detail to make it exciting.
Wait, you thought yours was exciting?
Yes.
All right. Now, the only person that Muggs was actually excited to talk to at the Grammy Roundtable was the person, the chef who makes the food.
Yes. The executive chef of the Staples Center. Joe, I got to say, I don't know if you're responsible for the food that they have right here in the Lexus Club, but the Cobb salad, on point. And the pasta salad, on point.
That's good. That's a good start then, right?
The roast beef sandwich, on point.
All right. Well, that's a good start. I'm glad.
There's like a horseradishy sauce on the sandwich.
Yeah, horseradish kind of.
So, but I mean, if you could save me a dish from Monday night, that'd be great.
All right. That was a strange request because you weren't going Monday night.
No, but he could, you know, put something in the fridge for me, like maybe some leftovers.
For when?
I'll see him again. I go to the Staples Center.
Somehow I believe that. All right. Who is Roshan Fagan?
Roshan Fagan, he's like a Disney actor. He was in Spider-Man. He worked with Joe Jonas, and he actually started his own record label recently.
All right, so Muggs is talking to him right after the chef, and so he's got a reference to chef.
Ladies and gentlemen, K-Rock audience, Roshan Fagan, this guy, he's the man, if you ask me. Enjoy the Grammys. Are you going to be at the show?
Yeah, the show.
I just talked to the head chef. There's going to be some bomb food.
Come on. Talk about food. I'm so ready for that.
Got him excited. Look at that.
You guys
bonded.
You pump him up.
Yeah.
There are a lot of categories in the Grammys that you don't ever see for a good reason. And this,
they give away 75 Grammys before the telecast. 75.
Oof. Yeah, that's insane. Well, Muggs talked to one of them and asked maybe one of the best questions Muggs has ever asked.
Best instrumental composition. I don't think I've ever met someone like you before who's been up for that nomination. Tell me about you.
And I know it
sounds. Was the end?
Yes, I know it sounds like he was going to say something else.
That's it.
Nope. Tell me about you.
And the weird upswing of you.
He waited for a second because clearly there was something else coming, but no, nothing.
I am going to start asking that question in every interview we do.
So then it's been too long since Muggs has talked about himself. So now he starts talking to this guy about his dad and why he loves jazz, and it goes on for like a half hour.
That's fantastic. You know what's funny, Richard? If I could share a part of my life story, my dad was a huge influence on me. He never really played any. Actually, the only instrument he played was drum brushes on a cardboard box. But he's really into jazz, and he really he opened my palate. For a lot of different types of jazz, slow jazz, smooth jazz, the classic, you know, bluesy jazz. And I got to say, I'm a drummer. And
nice!
There it is! Jazz drumming is probably one of the hardest drumming styles there is.
Now, who are you talking to here, Muggs?
His name is Rich DeRosa. He is a music professor at the University of Texas.
Okay, that was my point. You're talking to a guy who clearly knows more about this subject than you do, yet you're trying to school him on the difficulty of jazz drumming.
His dad opened up his palate.
Yes. It's true. And we all know Muggs' love of jazz. All right, now he's talking to Kathy Sledge.
From Sister Sledge?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And this is a hell of a question as well.
Coming up in the music industry so young, you said you were 16 when you did We Are Family. Were a lot of learning experiences?
Were a lot of learning experiences. What's that question?
Muggs, what happened there was, after you said you were 16 when you did We Are Family, you realized, I don't have a question.
I was out.
I have no idea where this is going. I got to come up with something.
That was it.
We can play it again. Sure, we got another time for that. There we go.
Coming up in the music industry so young, you said you were 16 when you did We Are Family. Were a lot of learning experiences?
Were a lot of learning experiences?
The only thing that was missing was tell me about you.
Tell me about you?
All right, I don't have time for the rest right now. Maybe we can squeeze them in throughout the program.
You're a bad man.
We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55. We're going to talk to the marijuana editor for the Denver Post.
Yeah, dude.
That's his job, is he's on the pot beat in Colorado.
Yeah.
What if he sounds just like that, Ralph?
He walks the pot beat.
I'm going to ask him.
That's the Showbiz beat. Pot beat sounds awesome.
Right? I'm going to ask him, what about you? Mm-hmm. That's going to be my question to him. Anyway, that's coming up. Also, some more highlights of the Grammys from last night on the way. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Speaking of Grammys, Adele had a rough night. Some sound issues marred her performance. But Adele once again wins because she's just awesome. She could play the victim. She could pour me it. But no, she took to Twitter to let people understand what happened with the sound issues during her performance of All I Ask. The piano mics fell onto the piano strings. That's what that guitar sound was. It made the sound out of tune. And she summed it up perfectly with S happens. That's what she put. However, it's not all on the downside. She said because of the sound issue, she treated herself to In-N-Out after the Grammys, and so it made it all better.
All right.
There's nothing that a double-double can't make all better.
Yeah, a lot of people would have been crushed that the expectations were so high, and then you had sound issues. She's not hurt.
Some of them would have cried one tear and then wiped it away and leaned on Demi Lovato's shoulder. See Taylor Swift crying?
I did not know.
Yeah, it's awesome. Go online and see it. It'll make your day much better.
Are you talking about after the opening performance?
Yes.
Yeah, she missed a note and was very, very upset about it. How did that play in the room, Kevin, Taylor's opening number?
I don't know if I can take myself out of that equation because I just hated it. Yeah. But I feel like I was going into it hating it. So,
did you get glitter bombed?
No. No, I wasn't sitting that close.
Audio-wise, it was horrible.
Oh, was it?
Oh.
Did you cry a single tear and lean on your friend?
I didn't.
Did she really cry? Like, all joking aside, she cried?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh yeah.
Because she's a victim, Allie. She can't catch a break. Poor Taylor. Someone tried to steal her tear. She said that in her speech. People will try to undercut your tears.
I don't think that's what she said.
She cried.
She's the worst.
This is the Grammys!
Right. All right, maybe not the worst. Maybe Kanye stole the worst. And that's why I want to give a big salute to Virgin Australia Airlines and their tweet. Now, Virgin is distancing themselves from this tweet. I say, own it, Virgin Australia Airlines. You know, he was upset because a review publication, Pitchfork, rated his album, The Life of Pablo, a 9 out of 10.
That upset him?
Yes,
Kevin. That's very offensive.
Because he tweeted in response, his album is a 30 out of 10. That's the number he thought he should have received in the review.
Well, remember, it's not the album of the year, it's the album of the life, according to Kanye.
Right.
But can't other people make up their minds what they think about it?
No. So Virgin Australia Airlines said in a tweet, Kanye West, EAD, you douche.
EAD stands for eat a. The airline took the tweet down within 60 seconds of it being posted.
Yeah.
But,
oops,
the internet being the internet, it was long enough for it to be retweeted by over 200,000 people. And Virgin Australia said, a recent tweet in our account was not published by a Virgin Australia employee, and we are investigating the matter. We apologize for any offense caused. Offense? I'm flying Virgin Australia everywhere now. If I have to go, if I have to fly to Sydney to get a plane and then go to Chicago, that's how I'm going in Virgin Australia. That's what you should do.
They get all of your business.
All of my business for Virgin Australia.
Can you imagine being upset over getting a 9 out of 10 review?
No.
Yeah, when it deserves a 30 out of 10?
Yes.
True.
That's true. I wasn't factoring that in.
Look, any normal person would go, wow, they loved it.
He just wants the world to know his struggle. That's all.
Well, he is a descendant of slaves, and the fact that he made it this far is all that matters.
And then he cried one single tear. this Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are returning to the stage at Hollywood Babylon.
No.
We're doing it at the Improv on Melrose, bringing it back.
No.
We had a week off, but we're going to bring it back. Guns loaded. Lots of Kanye. He's the best. He's the gift that keeps on giving.
He sure does.
We will explore that thoroughly this Friday night, as well as other fun things. Come on out and see us, won't you? You can go to improv.com to get more information and tickets.
No. Just simple no.
I don't think Rodney's going to be able to make it, but... Today's celebrity birthdays, Ice-T, not the drink, the rapper. See, there might be some confusion.
Yeah, there's no confusion when it comes to birthdays, though.
58 years old today. Andy Taylor, guitarist for Duran Duran. He's 55. Elizabeth Olsen, Scarlet Witch. 27 years old today. Speaking of Marvel superheroes, by the way, one more time. I'm going to say it all day long. Deadpool.
Yeah.
Or as Kevin would say, the Deadpool.
I did say that,
but
yeah.
Deadpool is actually the name of the film. It's very entertaining. Come to the writers for the Deadpool.
Yeah, that
did you think they just had come up with a Deadpool, and we were talking about guys who were just had just put names in a hat?
No, I just said it poorly. Just said it poorly.
All right.
Like I do.
And The Weeknd celebrates his 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Rolling Papers is the name of a fascinating documentary that is in theaters and available on video on demand this Friday. It's also showing at the Lemley Royal on Santa Monica Boulevard in West L.A. And it's about the first year of marijuana legalization in the great state of Colorado. Here's a taste.
They're lining up around the block for legal marijuana sales in Colorado.
It's a massive story. People are watching very closely what's happening here.
Marijuana sales are beating expectations.
For us to take it seriously is just smart journalism.
The Denver Post has actually hired an editor to cover marijuana.
It's close to my heart, and I want it to kick ass and be relevant. We have a brand new website, The Cannabist. People are excited that the Post is going out on a limb and trying something like this.
That marijuana editor of The Cannabist at the Denver Post is Richard Baca. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Mr. Baca, how are you?
Hey, great. How are you guys doing?
Very well, thank you. I can't believe California did not beat Colorado to legalizing pot. Doesn't that seem like it would be such a California thing to do?
Oh, you are not alone. So many people were surprised when Washington and Colorado in 2012 passed it, and, you know, Colorado has failed time after time with recreational. But, hey, you guys have your turn coming up this November. How do you guys feel it's going to go?
I mean, I think, like, you know, same as in your state, is every year the acceptance level gets higher. People get more and more warmed up to the idea, and I think a lot of Californians will be looking at the success in your state and going, hey, why not? We could use the money.
Right. You know, it's legitimate. We, in fact, just got our year-end numbers for 2015, and it's fascinating. The state sold more than $996 million in legal marijuana, that's recreational and medical, and that made for around $135, $140 million collected in taxes alone.
Nice.
Wow. Well, California is fine. We don't need that
don't
kind
need
of money.
So.
You don't need the money, right?
It's all good.
So, Richard, I know you've encountered this many times in the long career that you've had writing about marijuana, but are there still people who are clutching their pearls and talking about how marijuana is the evil weed and it's going to lead kids to heroin and they're going to kill their families and all? I mean, are you still hearing that sort of hysteria, or has the reality of what's really been going on in Colorado the last couple of years kind of tamed that a little bit?
You know, it's a little bit of both. I think you're always going to hear from those extreme sides of any argument, and certainly those groups are still out there. But you find that the legalization opposition that's still out there and that's still relevant, they have to learn from what we've seen and what we've witnessed firsthand here in Denver. You know, and that is really so many of people's greatest fears were never realized. In fact, one of my colleagues, one of our COPS writers, just wrote a piece last week about new statistics from the Colorado State Patrol that show marijuana-related DUIs actually going down in 2015 from 14. So that, I mean, that goes against all logic. Everything we've been told about this reefer, about the evil weed, as you say, the devil's lettuce.
The devil's lettuce.
Nice.
Richard, you agreed to be profiled in this documentary we're talking about called Rolling Papers without any kind of editorial input. You wanted them to just tell the story and the filmmakers, you know, basically let him shape the story how he wanted to. All you would do is agree to be filmed. Were you happy with the way the movie ended up?
You know, I am. Yeah. And it helped that I knew the director. I actually knew the director of the film, Mitch Dickman. For about 5 or 6 years beforehand, pretty casually. So when he was selected to be the director of this film, it worked really well. We already had a very good rapport. We've been to some Broncos games together and watched some Nuggets games together. He's a great guy. So, you know, I really had full trust in him. And the producers, they'd also made a previous film, On the Post, inside the newsroom around the Democratic National Convention here a couple years ago. So I think we had a very good relationship, and I trusted them to make a good film. And I think they did.
One of the things that was new to me, I had no knowledge of whatsoever until I saw the movie, is what's going on down in Uruguay. And I think that would really surprise a lot of people. Can you recap that part of the movie for us briefly?
You know, it's fascinating. Yeah, Uruguay, this tiny little South American country, was the first to truly legalize and regulate marijuana. Now, those sales haven't quite started yet for a number of reasons, primarily involving they had a change in presidency. But, you know, they really were the first country to go out there and do it on a federal level. And as you guys and many of your listeners are probably aware, this is exactly what's happening north of our border right now. And Canada's new Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, is looking to do the same exact thing, only this is so important to him. I think he's going to get these sales implemented and probably within the next couple years, which is going to be pretty mammoth, huge for North America, definitely huge for cannabis legalization.
Can he run for president of the United States? Or
Because we got no one.
Well, I think Bernie's on board. You know, if he stands a chance, he has definitely come out in favor of this. And as for now, all of the rest of the other presidential candidates, they've said that they believe in states' rights and they want to allow Colorado and its experiment to continue on, especially now that Chris Christie has dropped out of the race. He was very, very anti-legalization, but everybody else is pretty much, hey, let Colorado, Washington, Oregon do their thing. And it'll be fascinating because we won't have a new president until after we've all voted again. And by then, inevitably, we're going to have more recreational states, whether it's California or Nevada or Massachusetts or
yeah,
all.
I wonder what the tipping point is going to be where, as many people predict, eventually the federal government is going to get on board with this. I mean, even in your state, that's still a little bit of a rub. I mean, it's so fascinating in this film to see the people who – one guy gets his eBay account closed down, Kevin, because he makes his money through dealing in pot. Another guy has to withdraw all of his money from the bank in cash. They won't even give him a check because they don't want any kind of paper trail having to do with marijuana. And that's all because of their fear of repercussions from the federal government. Right, Ricardo?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of the best things about covering this beat is really there's a state versus federal conflict almost at every level. Whether you're talking about banking, taxes, pesticide use, all of these things are regulated at a federal level, and so states have no idea what to do when confronted with a legal marijuana market. But you mentioned what will be that tipping point, and not to pander to the local audience, definitely not, but you know, I mean, you guys know that California, it's the eighth largest economy in the world, also probably the single most important market for cannabis. And if you guys go recreational in November, you know, as goes California, as goes the rest of the country, I can't help but think that's going to make a mark on Congress because, yeah, President Obama has said that this is not a priority for him in his last year, in his last term. So I think that's what we're looking at.
I feel like Obama doesn't have any priorities in his last year of being president. But I'm also disappointed that it's taking California so long. This is ridiculous.
It does make us look bad.
Yeah, I don't know if it makes it look
bad. It does. It makes us look bad.
It does, Ricardo.
Okay, I'll take your guys' word for it.
All right. Well, if you have any kind of interest in the legalization of marijuana and what it means on the ground, it is a very well-done documentary. It's called Rolling Papers. Again, it's in theaters, including the Lemley Royal on Santa Monica Boulevard in West L.A. starting this Friday, and you'll probably most likely see it on demand wherever you see movies. Ricardo Baca has been our guest. He's the marijuana editor for the Denver Post of The Cannabist, and he is featured prominently in the movie, and you seem like a very likable, very nice guy. We really appreciate you taking the time to come on with us today, sir.
Oh, man, I super appreciate you guys having me on to talk about the film and the cannabis and everything. Love K-Rock. Always listen when I'm in town.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye. So last night was the Grammys. Kevin, you were in the audience. Does that make you luckier than us or not as lucky as us?
I would say less lucky.
Yeah. Really?
Because when there's all that stuff going on that you're not interested in, there was a lot of country. Lot of country.
Now, I know you say that every year.
Yep.
But again, like most years, there were exactly two country music performances. That's it. In
that's
a three-and-a-half-hour show.
That's possible. There were 13 if there was one.
There was Sam Hunt and Carrie Underwood performed together, and then there was Little Big Town came out and did their Girl Crush. That was it. That was the extent of the country performances.
And Little Big Town was great.
It was too much.
Okay,
really?
But it was two songs out of 3.5 hours, and you always talk about how there's way too much country. Like,
right. You ask me if I'm more lucky or less lucky that I was there. I'm saying I would use that time when they're on TV to go get something to drink.
Do some laundry, that type of thing.
Yeah,
okay.
But I had to sit there and watch it.
Right.
And it's country.
All right. Yeah. Did you, speaking of Dave Grohl, we just played him. Did you see him walking through the audience with the New Orleans Preservation Jazz Hall Band?
I did. I feel like everybody wants Dave Grohl to join whatever they're doing.
Yes, that's right.
They'd be right.
They would be right.
May I suggest to you guys, in all seriousness, and I don't know if he would be interested or if he would do it, but Dave Grohl as the host of the Grammys.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be good.
Would it be as good as...
I love a lip-sync battle just like the next guy. Okay, maybe a little more than the next guy. But these people here, they sing for real. This is the Grammys!
Explain to me how 5 years in a row LL Cool J is the best choice to host the Grammys. Look, I liked his early rap records. The first 3-4 records I thought were great. He's not offensive as an actor. He's fine. But as a host, Kevin, as a host, what is LL Cool J bringing to the party?
I don't know. I feel like if he just tried a little less, he would be perfect. Just stay out of the way. Yeah. Just keep things moving.
But every other show, they go, hey, let's get Tina and Amy. Hey, let's get Ricky Gervais. Hey, let's get Andy Samberg. Let's get Jimmy Kimmel. Let's get somebody who's going to make it entertaining.
Yeah.
LL Cool J does none of that.
He didn't do that, no.
It's just a CBS synergy thing. Once it leaves CBS, he will not be the host.
But they have lots of other stars that would be better hosts. And by that, I mean anyone. Anyone would be a better host.
Big Bang Kids.
And by the way, was I right or did he lick his lips 5,000 times during that show last night?
I couldn't see that from where I was sitting.
Allie?
I'm sure.
Licking lips?
You loved it so much that it was like sweet redemption. Every retweet on Bean's timeline was, oh my God, I never noticed till now. Like people were giving Bean so much ammunition. But yes, he does lick his lips. But to me, he's such a non-factor in the whole show. He's barely there. And when he is there, he's just yelling certain words.
Agreed, but that last clip that Bean played, I was in the audience. I was like, what does that even mean these people sing for real?
Because he hosts a show called Lip Sync. That's why. I mean, it's just bad. It's just bad on every level. And by the way, the Los Angeles Times did a piece last week talking about hosting the Grammys, and they had maybe even a better idea than Dave Grohl, and that is Fred Armisen and Kerry Brownstein hosting the Grammys. Brilliant. From Portlandia.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think
both musicians, both funny, hilarious, comedy timing. Why not give them a try, CBS?
because it's not a host situation. He's just there to say, and coming up next. It's not, it doesn't make the host.
Right.
They're not there to be good. They're just there
but
they for
could
a
be. Why it's a wasted it? Opportunity. Exactly.
You've
why
got 8,000 performances to get to. Let's not
all
make it
I
about
know,
the host.
All I know is that LL told me that Pitbull was coming up so I could leave.
Yeah. Over so and over.
He
the
did
big
me a
finale.
Service. I heard that people just flooded for
yes.
the aisles as
oh
soon as they said,
God.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pitbull. Like, they couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Oh, it was terrible. Oh.
It's a mass exodus. Even bringing Sofia Vergara on stage, you couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Yeah.
Speaking of things I've had enough at the Grammys, how many years in a row has Stevie Wonder done a joke about, oh, I can't read this card, I'm blind? Why do they let him continue to do that?
Because everyone in the music industry, he's like their pope.
He's
I mean, he,
right.
they,
he won
they worship
he's
him.
Great.
He's got like 30 Grammys.
He's a phenomenal artist.
So that's why they have him.
But it's not a surprise anymore when he either pretends to read the card or makes some comment about the fact that he can't. We understand that he's blind. Last night he did mix it up, though.
Okay, so you all can't read this, huh?
Uh-huh. He's holding the card.
You can't read it. You can't read Braille. Ah, nah, 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 nah.
All right. You're not ever going to win by mocking me because I can see, okay?
That's am I a bad person for checking to see if the teleprompter was on while
yes,
Stevie Wonder was on stage?
Yes!
And it was.
Well, he was up there
every
presenting
word.
With Pentatonix, though, remember.
Right, but he
so
was
they
the
had
only
to read
one
their
really talking, and all of his part was up there.
Oh, Kevin.
I mean,
no.
But what's the? It
Come
was.
On.
But every word was up there, as if he needed to reference it at some point. He could. I'm just saying.
Back so you're a blind Stevie Wonder's not blind truther now.
No. I was just surprised that it was up there. I was like, I don't think of all the people up there. I don't think he needs that.
All right. This is going to be perhaps very controversial. What I'm about to say because
great
the take online. During and after the show has been nothing but raves for Lady Gaga and her David Bowie performance.
Nope.
Really? You're
nope.
with me, Allie?
It was like when you're wasted in Vegas at a bachelorette party and you're like, what show should we see? Let's just go see that tribute show. Let's do that. That's what I saw on stage. It was painful and I'm glad he wasn't there to see it.
I am so surprised to hear you say that because I've read nothing but raves, but I thought that it was way too literal, on point. It looked like an amateur production to me. I did not think she sang very well. Mm-hmm. Look, I thought Lady Gaga was a perfect person to choose for that responsibility because, like David Bowie, who she's a huge fan of, she's an original artist. She's a gender bender. She is a great singer. I thought there were a lot of reasons that it could have been a great performance. I don't think it was a great performance. How did that play in the room?
It
Kevin?
Played pretty well in the room. I think the room was responding to David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
So after the performance, everybody stood up, and I think there was a lot of that. But
yeah,
there's much
love for David Bowie, but did you think Gaga sounded very good?
In the house, it was okay.
Let me play a little bit of it, okay. And you'll see part of what my problem was. I appreciate that they tried to be ambitious, but they crammed 10 songs into 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was almost like I'll sing two lines of this and two lines of that. It was very jarring.
Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Weird and Gilly, Spiders from Mars.
That's jarring.
Yeah.
That is tough.
A friend of mine put it in the best way possible. It was like her doing an impression of Liza Minnelli doing an impression of David Bowie. And I was like, nailed it.
I just thought like about a minute in, they should have just maybe shown some highlights of David Bowie
Absolutely.
Being David Bowie.
Yeah, it didn't work for me at
me
all.
Neither.
I'll tell you, my favorite part of the Grammys, though, which blew the place away, was Kendrick Lamar. I don't know how that played
incredible.
On TV, but
it was the highlight. It was
so great.
It was better than the whole rest of the Grammys
yeah.
combined. The Kendrick Lamar performance was phenomenal. Absolutely.
Bailey. And by the way, I know there are those who are disappointed that he did not win an Album of the Year, and I wouldn't have been mad at that at all if that had happened. But he did win more Grammys than anyone last night. I think he won 5 or 6 or something like that. So it's still a very, very big night for Kendrick Lamar.
How about that B.B. King tribute?
Outstanding. That was probably the second best music performance of the night, I thought.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah, that was
Chris
really good.
Stapleton, you've got Gary Clark Jr., Bonnie Raitt, who's just a legend.
Very
that,
tasteful.
To me, was beautiful.
It was great. One more note on your host, LL Cool J, before we close this down.
Let's hear it for O.J. Jackson Jr.
O.J. Jackson Jr. I'm glad he could make it. That was fun. Only a few minutes away from this week's Bachelor Report with Petros Papadakis and Ralph Garman. But first, are you telling me that God is smiling on us today? We have another round of beer mug interviews from the Grammy Roundtable. Oh, I'm so happy.
Yes, Muggs did a lot of good work. And he asked a lot of questions that you really have to sort of decipher to see if you can understand what they are. But in this particular question, he's going 60 miles an hour one direction and then makes a hard right.
And you got your start on American Idol.
I'm sorry, this is David Cook, who he's interviewing, who did win American Idol.
And you got your start on American Idol. Tell me what that was like, trying to vie for, you know, a top spot on a... What season was it that you were on?
Having had a few days to think about it, Bugs,
yeah.
What did you mean to ask that?
I was trying to ask two questions in one right there.
Right. Uh-huh.
What did he take away from his experience in what did he take away from his experience on American Idol?
Right.
And what was the second part?
What season was he on?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. I mean, is that relevant?
No.
He was on American Idol and he won the season.
Years
whatever,
ago.
Yeah. Whatever season it was doesn't make any difference.
I guess.
And the question you asked, by the way, if your intention was, what did you take away? The question you asked is, what was it like trying to win it, too?
Well, that's
very confusing.
Sort of started with, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Another question that he had for Sick Puppies. Well, it wasn't really a question. It was more of a statement. And here's my suggestion to you, Muggs. If you don't remember how the interview went with somebody, don't bring it up.
Okay.
Like, why would you even bring that up?
Okay. You know what? Before I ended the interview, I met you guys somewhere one time, and I was trying to remember, but I've interviewed you. Hopefully I wasn't as poor of an interviewer as I was at now.
Wow. What was the point of bringing up the other interview that you don't remember?
I had no brain to mouth filter.
Right.
It just everything I think just spews out.
But you didn't have just a momentary thought of, I think I interviewed them, but I don't remember how it went.
Right. So why bring it up?
I think I was thinking out loud, maybe.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Richard DeRosa, you said, was a professor.
Yes, he's a professor of music at the University of Texas.
I don't feel like it's your need to tell him where the question is coming from, because I think he assumes it's coming from you with the microphone who's asking a question.
Now that we've gotten past the nominations and we were talking about, and you're a drummer and of jazz, and I got to ask you, because this is coming from me.
Wait.
I'm gonna ask you to rate.
Wait.
Uh-huh. This is coming from me.
Just to reiterate, I wanted to make it clear.
Okay.
But who else did he think this question was coming from?
Christine was there. He could have thought.
Right,
Christine
but wasn't it obvious the voice was coming from your moving mouth?
Yeah, guys, I don't know why I said that. All right, but wait for the question.
I gotta ask you, because this is coming from me. I'm gonna ask you to rate jazz, famous jazz drummers.
Okay.
All right.
No, not all right.
Yeah.
Really?
Hook, line, and sinker.
Did you name them?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Oh, Muggs had plenty of suggestions. It went on for like
I did
3 minutes. Aww. I mean, it was just insane.
I did.
So you bonded with them.
Yes.
That's kind of nice.
You want to know who I named?
Nope.
No.
So Muggs talked to Kathy Sledge. We played a clip last hour. I don't know why he would bring up maybe the biggest fail of his Grammy interviewing career, which was the interview with Kool & the Gang. Now, I'm going to play the clip from last Thursday.
Yeah.
And then, Bean, I would like you to play the Kool & the Gang interview, okay, which was right, so good, because he fumbles around, but I just want people to hear what he's bringing up.
Did you ever work with Kool & the Gang?
Yes. Yeah. Aren't they getting honored this year? Aren't they? No. Earth, Wind, and Fire is getting honored this year. Yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. But you want to hear a very funny story with Kool & the Gang?
Yeah.
Okay. So backstage, same area, same spot we are now.
Why would a lady in Sister Sledge want to hear about your interview with Kool & the Gang, Muggs?
Just so we can play the audio clip today.
Nope.
All right. Here at the Grammy Roundtable with Ronnie and Kool of none other than Kool & the Gang. How are you gentlemen doing?
Well, wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of your biggest hits goes a little something like this. Do a little dance. Make a little love? Get down tonight?
No.
Yep. It did.
Yes.
And he had like two more suggestions that were also not Kool & the Gang songs.
I did that.
Casey and the Sunshine Band, Kool & the Gang. You're all the same.
Same thing.
And the final question.
Have you seen The People versus O.J. Simpson?
I don't even know how that came up. But it was asked by Beer Mug on the red carpet. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:54. Chris Hardwick talks Walking Dead and its return for the second half of the season coming up next hour. We got the Bachelor Report just after 8 o'clock with Petros Papadakis joining us. And don't forget, you're about 1 hour away from your chance to win tickets to see The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl and be on the standby boarding list to see the band in Rome, Italy. That is all coming up on K-Rock. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
Good morning, boys and girls. Just want to give people a heads up this Friday night. At the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are bringing Hollywood Babylon back to the stage again this weekend.
No.
We will be covering a great many things. We've been off for a couple weeks, so we got a lot of catching up to do, including, of course, Kanye West's remarkable meltdown, which is just so much fun. If you saw him on Saturday Night Live or not, but he was awful. And I feel bad for Saturday Night Live because they just died. They just caught the bullet. They almost were spared. But they were a victim of Kanye West. He almost walked off the show. He almost quit.
Temper tantrum, right?
Because temper tantrum. Because he didn't like the set.
He didn't like the set.
Which was basically just a video screen, by the way. Threatened to walk off the show during its live performance, by the way. He's backstage, and he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to walk. So Lorne Michaels has to be summoned down to the hallway and corners him and tries to talk him off the ledge. He had a meltdown and was screaming. So they had to ask Kim Kardashian to come out of the audience and come backstage and hit him with a trank dart or whatever she does to keep him in line. Apparently, Lorne, they say, was just very calm during the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye West was freaking out, screaming, by the way, that he's the greatest artist. And he was not being treated appropriately. And they say Michaels was eerily calm, actually, through the incident. The source connected to the show said, I guess after 41 years of doing this, he's used to it. So
That's crazy.
They did get him to go on stage. And
it's a shame because it was terrible.
everybody regretted the fact that he didn't walk. The only problem is when you're there, that show is timed out to the minute.
Yeah.
You know? So if he walks, what are you going to do with the extra 20 minutes or whatever.
Well, that's what I was wondering about with the Grammys last night. When Rihanna pulled out at the last minute, it seemed like the show would have just run long had she shown up.
No, I'm sure you pad. You know, when someone leaves like that, you expand certain segments.
LL comes out and does a hilarious comedy chunk.
Wow, man. Why did you got to come down on LL so much?
This is the Grammys!
I guess that's not what they call BL.
We had a chance to interview LL last week, and we had to say no.
Right.
Because of B.
I would have been nice to him.
No, yeah,
I'm sure.
I would have asked him if he was going to bring up OJ on the show.
Let's hear it for OJ Jackson Jr.
That was funny.
OJ Jackson Jr. was there?
Yes. Yes, he's trying to bring out O'Shea Jackson Jr., Ice Cube's son.
And the best. This is hard for me to believe, I guess because we were so inundated with so much Star Wars for so long. But Star Wars Episode 8 began filming yesterday at Pinewood Studios in England. They're already in production on the next episode of Star Wars. Benicio del Toro is in the cast, and he is rumored to have the villainous role in the sequel.
All right.
Laura Dern has also been added to the cast. Interestingly, no rumors on what role she will play. But the whole gang is back. Well, not the whole gang.
Right.
Oh. I'm just saying.
Too soon.
See that cartoon was over the weekend for Valentine's Day?
Yes.
Of Chewbacca sitting at a restaurant table with a box of chocolates. Just weeping.
Just crying.
Just sitting across from an empty chair.
It's a guy named Luke McGarry. He does all the Festival Supreme stuff. He's phenomenal.
Oh, that's so funny.
He's pretty awesome. Daisy Ridley will be back. John Boyega, Carrie Fisher, Lupita Nyong'o, Anthony Daniels, Andy Serkis, Domhnall Gleeson. A newcomer named Kelly Marie Tran will also be part of the cast. And then, of course, Mark Hamill. Don't you get sense this is going to be Hamill's film?
Yes.
If the last one was Harrison Ford's movie, this is going to be Hamill's movie, right?
I think so.
He's just going to be unleashed.
He's being brought out of retirement, basically.
He's going to start crushing broads in like, the bar and everything. He's just going to go positive nuts. That's gonna happen. Oh, yeah. He's gonna bend over some aliens. That's all I'm saying. Right?
Now, Ralph, let me ask you this question, Ralph. Yeah. And you too, the girls, since you're such a big Star Wars fan. How much do you want to hear about Star Wars Episode 8 starting today?
None.
None at all. I even said yesterday, I don't need this to start now.
Because it's coming out next Christmas, right?
Now.
Too much.
Yeah. It's coming out a year from December.
Show me some footage. Where's the teaser? Where's the trailer?
Nope. Really? You're ready
Where's
for that
the
already?
Trailer? They obviously filmed some. Yesterday, they filmed something. Let me see it.
There was
on the
a
internet.
Tiny teaser online where they sort of showed the last scene of the movie kind of continuing on, but it was 11 seconds.
Now, so you want to see dailies, Ralph. That's what you're asking.
Let me just pipe him into my house. Just let me watch you. Just live stream it. Let live stream the filming.
I'm saying if it doesn't come out for like 22
right,
months.
We haven't even seen any Rogue One, anything like
let's,
that.
Let's
we
hold off.
Let's hold off
let's
on this.
Let's see it all now. That's what I say. Nope. Everything all the time. And sad news. She was one of my favorites. Vanity. A protege of Prince back in the 80s, a singer for the girl group Vanity Six, has passed away at the age of 57. She had pretty serious kidney trouble. She was a crack addict in the 90s, and a 1994 overdose ruined her kidneys, so she had been suffering from kidney disease for some time, but she sadly passed away. Her real name, Denise Katrina Matthews. And her smash hit, of course, in 1982 was Nasty Girl. Remember Nasty Girl? I'm looking for a man that'll do it anywhere. Even if I'm in a sea world. To me, I'm living in a fantasy. My own little nasty world. To me, don't you want to come with me? Do you think I'm a nasty girl? Was Vanity the one, Ralph, who was in the Purple Rain movie with Prince? No, it was Apollonia. No.
That was Apollonia.
She was supposed to be. She's who he wanted to be the lead in the movie.
Apollonia was sort of Vanity-esque
in
her appearance. I can understand your confusion. He had a bunch of
Sheila
female stars. Yeah, that he
Carmen Electra was one of them.
Produced and supported in the 80s. And so, sad news. Did we pull that clip off a cassette?
Came off YouTube.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure.
It's the original video for Nasty.
It's off my mixtape.
It might be the actual track, the actual recording of that song, I thought. Maybe just the fidelity. I'm bringing the fidelity into question.
I see.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer The Weeknd is 26 years old today.
Just The Weeknd.
Elizabeth Olsen's 27. Andy Taylor from Duran Duran is 55 years old today. And Ice-T, actor, rapper. He's 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't watch The Bachelor, but is it or is it not Raining Ben?
It's Raining Ben!
It's Raining Ben! Hallelujah! It's Raining Ben! Oh. Amen!
Yeah. It is time for The Bachelor Report. Hit it, Steve!
It's time! We got the Big P and Garman, and they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man! Girls drinking, hallelujah.
Woo-hoo.
Girls crying, hallelujah.
Woo-hoo.
Girls crazy, hallelujah.
Woo-hoo.
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you.
Woo-hoo.
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you. The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
Ooh. Our friend Petros Papadakis, co-host of the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570 LA Sports, joins us on the phone for his weekly spot. Hey, P.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm fighting through a couple of early issues.
Oh, I'm sorry. You okay?
No, there's a swarm of bees outside my office.
Awesome.
Am I supposed to take a hose to that or
yes.
what?
Mm-mm. You're supposed to jump in a lake.
Well, that's what happens. I don't have a straw like in the cartoons.
You've got to find a reed.
I think grab a broom and start swinging it.
And I'm holding my daughter, and I don't want her to think I'm a misogynist, but I'm ready to rock and roll. But you know what, Ralph? Last night was a bit of a snoozer because of the Grammys. I think they tuck the snoozer episode right up against the Grammys and Vanderpump Rules on that one Monday. You know?
I could not
differ with you more, sir. I thought last night we got to see the real Ben in his hometown of Warsaw, Indiana, the orthopedic capital of the world.
If you got a rotator cuff issue, this is the place
where you
to
go. I'm not kidding you. On the city sign, it says Warsaw, Indiana, the orthopedic capital.
Huh.
I'm not even sure what that means, but they're very proud of their orthopedics there.
If you need a rib removed or like one of those old people ace bandages for your calf.
This is the place
that's
to
the
be.
Place. All right.
And we saw Ben in his element, P. We got to see him at the youth center where he worked as a young man and saw him interacting with children and teaching them sporting skills and caring for a young boy who was crying against the wall. He made him smile. What's wrong with you, Ben?
Look, man, I don't know why you watch this show. I watch it to watch women unravel and then men when it's The Bachelorette. I don't watch it to see heart-tugging kids dealing with some guy they don't even know. The kid's crying because he's on camera.
No, he wasn't.
Because there's a sound guy pestering him.
No, because he didn't feel comfortable playing with the Indiana Pacers, who also showed up just accidentally.
What?
They showed up to the youth center like
how
they
about
do.
No love to that for the head coach at all, who just like stalked
true.
In. And the
yes.
Frank Vogel, the head coach of the Pacers, and then Paul George, and then George Hill. The only person anybody knew was Paul George.
We saw Boomer, though, the mascot, the Indiana Pacers mascot.
Wow.
Boomer was there.
It was actually kind of a nice moment when they went to the youth center and did all that stuff. But I think that kid was upset because somebody tried to put a lav mic on him.
Right. And then Emily also got a one-on-one besides Lauren. And her date card said, Emily. It was Amanda. No, JoJo. JoJo got
there
the date
go.
Card. JoJo.
Yeah, the whiskey-voiced hookerish girl from Dallas.
She's not hookerish at all. I love JoJo. I'm Team JoJo. I love her voice.
Sounds like she smoked a pack of Capris.
And she was, her date card said, let's find love in the Windy City, because they're there in Indiana, of course, a couple hours away. But many of the women were confused by the cryptic message that was on the date card. Take a listen.
What did the date card say? It just said Windy City.
Let's find love in the Windy City.
Yeah.
I mean, it's windy here, but it's not
the Windy,
like the
city,
windy
city is Chicago.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, Chicago. It's windy here, but it's not that windy.
No, it didn't say let's find love in the orthopedic capital of the world. It says let's find love in the Windy City. But nobody would accuse these women of being brilliant. I mean, none of them. But Ben is much dumber than all of them.
No, he is not.
It's a pretty good fit. I know he's a nice guy, Ralph, and he enchanted you when you looked into his eyes
yes.
on The Bachelor Live. But come on, let's be honest.
He's a big ball fan. They went to Wrigley Field for their date and had a great date there at Wrigley Field. It was pretty cool.
They desecrated that beautiful church of American sport and competition by laying in the outfield caressing each other over the jeans. God, it was like a high school date. I thought they were going to start dry humping.
And then the group date with a bunch of girls going out on boats to enjoy the lake there in Warsaw, Indiana.
That did look nice.
It did look nice. And Amanda, the Southern California representative on the show, she is from Rancho Santa Margarita. She was very nervous. I think because she knew...
You know what that means. You know what that means, right?
No,
what
does that mean?
You're from Rancho Santa Margarita?
No. What does that mean?
You have the culture of an ant.
Well, okay. She does have the most annoying voice on the show. That's what I found. I think she was super nervous because she knew she'd have to talk.
Next week is especially important to me just because me introducing Ben to my kids is a huge deal. Makes me really nervous about today. I think if I didn't get that rose, it's definitely a sign. I'm so nervous. I've never been this nervous.
I'm so nervous. It's a sign.
Is she nine?
Yeah, she has two kids. How do you separate them when they're in the house if you just hear the voices? How do you know who's the kid?
Not only that, but she has some really little hands.
Oh, you with the hands.
Wow.
No. It's a good thing on women.
Oh, I see.
You know, it makes you feel like you got more going on.
Yeah, we got her. Yeah, we understand.
Uh-huh. We get it.
Kayla. For Harrison, you know what? Well, you know, I mean, those little hands holding a woman, it's
right,
just it's weird.
Kayla was concerned because there she was in Warsaw, and Ben's got very deep roots there in his town, grew up there. She doesn't have necessarily a hometown to take him to next week on hometown dates because, we found out why.
I've moved probably about 17 times before college, and so I don't really have deep roots if I bring him back home.
17 times?
Before college, wow.
What were her family terrorists in the 60s or something? Did they bomb a public building and need to run from the law?
You think it's the people that kidnapped Patty Hearst?
who moved 17 times?
That is suspicious.
A girl who leaves her whole life for Boston and then leaves her boyfriend in Boston while watching The Bachelor because she has feelings for the idiot guy who was going for the last Bachelorette. Ben.
17 times. We need a deep background check on this girl. Something's not up.
She's a little weird. She got the crazy eye.
And then in there, Warsaw, you know, Ben was trying to show everyone his natural setting. He wanted for them to know what it's really like in his hometown. And so he took one of his dates to a place that's very important to him.
I thought that the whole purpose of coming to my hometown is to do the things that are normal to me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take you to McDonald's. Okay, that's a normal thing for me.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go into McDonald's and find out about their new menu where you can get breakfast anytime.
Oh, no.
They only brought up the, would you like breakfast or normal dinner or lunch? I mean, it was the dumbest thing.
That sounds like a very seamless product placement, you guys.
And Amanda,
I told you, they tucked this episode up against the Grammys.
Amanda and Ben worked the drive-through. And they handed out breakfast to everybody, even at night, because I don't know if you know this or not, but now you can get breakfast anytime at your local McDonald's, even in Warsaw, Indiana, or the pita capital of the world.
And then they ate breakfast together at night.
At night.
And shared a French fry kiss. And I don't know if you guys know this. They didn't used to have fries available when breakfast was going at McDonald's, but it's a brand new freaking world.
Wow, you can have an egg McMuffin and French fries now.
It was depressing, though. There's nothing more depressing than a date at McDonald's. It makes you feel like you're watching All the Right Moves or something, you know?
Yeah. I found the product placement a little jarring last night. But not as jarring as Emily felt when Ben gave her the boot. She was the other identical twin, who was the last remaining twin on the show, and he took her to meet his parents, and his parents were like, are you nuts? She's an idiot. And he's like, okay, you have to go home. He cut her loose.
Why would you bring the youngest, dumbest, most talkingest girl from Vegas who's sitting by a lake in Indiana and goes, this is lovely. I don't travel much.
Because he wanted confirmation. He knew he wanted her gone, but he just wanted his parents to confirm the fact that she was a bonehead, so he didn't feel so bad when he cut her loose.
It was an emotional goodbye.
It was an emotional goodbye. But we're down to four now, P. We're down to the final four.
Wow.
Hometowns
are right around the corner.
This is where they get underneath the zit to really squeeze the out of the season, to really get it all out. There's going to be final rows after final rows after final rows. There's going to be a lot of episodes to get to
but
the
But now
end.
That there's only four, they'll shorten the episodes to like a half hour, right?
Because
there's not as... What?
2 hours. 2 hours each and every episode.
What?
Becca was let go. Emily was let go. Now we just have Amanda, Lauren, JoJo, and Kayla all vying for his heart.
Who are you rooting for, Ruff?
I'm Team JoJo all the way. I love
How
JoJo.
About you, P?
Yeah, I do like that. I like JoJo because her backstory is not my parents died or my husband left me.
Right.
I was somebody's side piece.
She's a real person with real feelings, and she doesn't have kids or
That's a beautiful story.
Or complicated relationships in her past. She seems like a very open, honest young lady, and she's
Again,
the only one who says,
I was
this
somebody's
is weird.
Side piece.
Stop saying side piece about my JoJo. Or Joj, as she's being referred
Joj?
To. No. Because apparently JoJo, short for Joelle, was too long, so now it's just Joj.
Just Joj.
Yeah. Not as good as Joobs. Joobs was the best nickname Joobs for Jubilee, but she's long gone.
Yeah. Well, P, we enjoyed very briefly hearing from your daughter this morning. Thank you for that. And
she's
thank
a
you
fan
for,
of the report.
Thank you for showing up. We'll do it again next week here on The Bachelor Report.
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
Sean White in studio with us just after 9 o'clock this morning here on KROQ, and our friend Chris Hardwick in just a few minutes talking about the return of The Walking Dead. I think he's right when he said on Talking Dead it's one of the five best episodes of that show ever.
Agreed.
First, though, we got to take care of some business here, Kevin. As you know, Kanye and Taylor had a feud that lasted for a couple of years, but they patched it up, and they were all kissy smiles, and everything was fine. But then Kanye West reignited the feud when he played his new album at Madison Square Garden a couple of days ago, and he included a song where he talked about how he was hoping to have sex or planning to have sex with Taylor Swift one day, and that he made that bitch famous. Last night on the show, the Grammys, Taylor Swift came out, and she had a response.
And as the first woman to win Album of the Year at the Grammys twice,
I want to say to all the young women out there, there are going to be people along the way who will try to undercut your success or take credit for your accomplishments or your fame.
Looking right at Kanye there.
But if you just focus on the work and you don't let those people sidetrack you, someday when you get where you're going, you'll look around and you will know that it was you and the people who love you who put you there. And that will be the greatest feeling in the world.
All right, now Kanye may think that it's settled now, that he fired a shot and then Taylor fired a shot back and now they're settled. But Kanye's still dealing with me. And I just want to say that I haven't gotten over it yet.
So you waded into this and started a beef with Kanye. Mm-hmm.
I had to.
You had to.
I can't sit back and let him trash talk T-Swizzle. I jumped in on Twitter right after that whole thing with Kanye's new album. Who's laughing? Why are you laughing at me?
Because why would you jump into a beef between actual talented people?
Because I was deeply offended that he pretended that he made her famous when she had already sold millions of records and won multiple Grammys before that incident happened.
And did you tweet to her?
I just tweeted something about how Kanye claims that he made Taylor Swift famous. Pretty much what I just said to you is that, yeah, he can say this about a woman who already sold millions of records and won multiple Grammys before they ever met. So clearly, he's wrong.
So now shots fired.
As far as I'm concerned, yes. So we brought this up on Friday, and you guys were, we were talking about how now I got to make a diss track because now that's how you settle things in the rap world, right?
Well, I mean, that's definitely the way it goes.
Is I got to make a diss track, and I am being told that I did make a diss track.
You
this
did,
weekend.
And we have a copy of it. Beans.
That is what I understand. Is that somehow I did record my message to Kanye about him dissing Taylor Swift?
The beef continues.
I'm a loaded weapon, and I'm gonna pull the trigger. What happened to us, Jesus? I thought you were my. You really crossed the line when you dissed my sweet tea swizzle. Now I'm gonna wreck you like the Edmund Fitzjizzle. I know this strongly worded letter is bound to cause a rift, but you should have thought of that before you came at Taylor Swift. Taylor was a star before your MTV show Ravings, so now I'll take you out just like I did to Daylight Savings. By now I'm sure you're worried that I might just bust a cap, but I don't need no violence, I'll destroy you with my rap. I'll duel for Taylor's honor, just like in olden times, but I don't need no pistol, I just slayed you with my rhymes. Word to your mother. Bean out. What's up?
I still got it. Our friend Chris Hardwick is on the phone, very popular stand-up comedian, actor, writer, musician, podcaster, of course, with the Nerdist podcast. He is also the host of At Midnight on Comedy Central and of The Talking Dead, Sunday nights at 10 on AMC right after The Walking Dead. By the way, Chris, I wanted to congratulate you. I just read this morning about the new Talking NCIS show you're going to be doing this season. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'll just do after shows for everyone. I feel like everything could use an after show. I'll go on HGTV. I'll do like Talking Property Brothers. Like I'll do everything. I'll break down everything.
Sure, why the hell not? Well, listen, I didn't get a chance to see Talking Saul last night after the premiere of Better Call Saul because we were all watching the Grammys. But how did that go? Was that all right?
It was amazing. I mean, that show. What Vince and Peter Gould have accomplished with that show is spinning off from one of the most beloved television shows in the history of television,
yep,
and making it its own show. If they didn't try to recreate Breaking Bad, and they've made a really human, sympathetic character with Jimmy, with Saul.
Yep,
and
I can't wait.
The whole show is like a masterclass in acting. Everyone in it's amazing. So it was really fun.
Well, I'm excited to catch up with that. Let's talk some Walking Dead. You said on The Talking Dead on Sunday night that you thought, although you might appear to be biased working for the show and the network, that it was one of the five best episodes of that show ever. And I got to agree with you.
Yes. So first of all, we're going to talk about Walking Dead. So spoiler alert, if you're listening to this and you don't want to hear that because you haven't seen Walking Dead yet, then turn it off because we're going to talk about it.
Yes. Yes.
That episode... This far, and again, people think I'm biased because I work for the, but I'm telling you, as a fan of the show, separately from my employment, this far into the series, that the midway through sixth season, that we could still have an episode that starts off with a huge F yeah moment. Like the second Daryl comes out with the rocket launcher.
He's seriously upgraded in the weapon department.
Yes, he has. That was one of the most badass seconds you've ever seen on television. I mean, it was just total annihilation. You're just like, oh, yes. My God.
I mean, I really thought, because you never know who's going to die and when. So I was like, oh, my God, is Abraham going to get it? Is Sasha going to get it? Because the guy who was playing the head guy in that gang, in Negan's gang, was phenomenal. His performance.
Yeah, he was so great.
His short performance was phenomenal. And I thought, okay, well, this guy's going to be, he's going to be one of the guys that we're going to deal with throughout the season. And then, no.
Yeah. And also, Chris, before we move on from Negan, I mean, the fact that we were all prepped and primed knowing that that character is going to be introduced in season six, and we just understandably thought, okay, this is it. They're going to be led back, and we're going to finally meet Negan, and this is going to be the beginning of a new era on Walking Dead. And then to press pause on that and go to something that's equally compelling was just amazing. I mean, it was like, it made your head spin.
Yeah, and Negan, if you read the comics, Negan is probably the most anticipated character at this point from the comics, because what's interesting about him Kirkman has written a bunch of stuff in the comics that I don't know how they're going to translate to television. Like, the F word is literally every other word out of Negan's mouth.
Right.
Oh, but he also, and that's why Jeffrey Dean Morgan, one of the reasons why Jeffrey Dean Morgan is such a perfect, is because if you're a fan of Watchmen, comedian, his character, the comedian, did the most awful things with this charming smile on his face.
Yes.
And that is Negan. Like, Negan's character is the worst character that you've seen in the entire series, but there's something weirdly charming about him at the same time. But he's awful. Like, he's a complete piece of crap. But
right. So Alexandria is taken over by, it seemed like 1,000, 1,500 walkers, just walkers as far as the eye can see. And you do think there's no way to come back from this. You've lost the territory. It's time to get the hell out of there. But damn, if Rick and the gang just didn't make a stand and fight back. That was unbelievable.
I did not see the – I figured that Sam was going to be a problem at the end of that last half of the season when he's like, Mom, I thought she was just going to kick him into the herd and be like, I don't know you.
Yeah, I would have been fine with that.
but which is a bummer, because Major Dodson, who plays Sam, is a super smart, really funny kid. And he even did in the package that we showed during the show, the first thing he says is, we're not dead. Like, he's so funny. And so, but his character causes this chain reaction that I really did not see coming. Again, spoiler alert, but I think on most any other show, they would have said, well, you know, Rick needs the love interest, so we got to have Jesse on. Like, I really did not see that part coming at all.
I agree. In fact, to see so many characters that you know so well get eliminated one right after another, to lose Sam, lose Ron, lose Jesse, and then let's not forget what happened to Carl, like one right after another, I almost thought that it was going to turn out to be a dream sequence, like Rick was going to snap his head back and realize, oh, that was just a bad dream, and now I'm back in reality. But all of that stuff happened, and you just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and so the major plot point being Carl's eye, which is, again, huge in the comic books. And, you know, in the comic books, Charlie Adlard, like, the gaping hole in the side of the kid's face is, you think, well, how could anyone survive that? But they actually explained it pretty well, which is that they think that the bullet ricocheted off the corner of his skull, and skull fragments, like, blew up in his eyes.
I've never been more angry.
What, that he lived, Kevin?
Yes, I don't read the comics. I didn't know he was going to get shot in the eye, but if you get shot in the eye, you die, mother effer. And it was finally time for me to be happy about Carl dying.
You seem very upset right now.
No, it didn't happen.
He is purple.
Come on.
Well, I mean, it would have been understandable to think that the bullet would have gone through the back of his head, like right through his brain into the back of his head. But what you're saying is it went in such an angle that it just kind of glanced off of the side of his head and kept going.
It grazed the side of his skull.
That's such BS.
Flew up in his eye. I think Kevin needs a defibrillator. Because he's very
agitated. So Chris, how are they going to handle that? Is this going to be like a Governor Junior situation where now Carl's going to wear an eye patch? Are they just going to cover him with bandages? Or what's his new look going to be?
In the comics, he covers it with bandages for a while, and then his hair has grown out long, so he kind of sweeps it over to the side. That's but I don't know what they're going to do. And I mean, you just never know what they're going to do in the series. And again, you know, I don't watch ahead, but the fact that all of that happened, so you have the FBI moment to start out, this really tragic moment in Alexandria. You get to see all the characters. You see three redemptions, right? You see a Gabriel redemption. You see a Eugene redemption.
Yep.
You see a Morgan redemption.
Uh-huh.
You see the whole storyline with the wolf wrap up. You see Glenn and Maggie reunite and the cavalry showing up and the fire and then the mass destruction of all of the walkers. And then it ends on a hopeful note. I mean, it really is. If you're a fan of the series, it is the most perfectly contained. It has everything you would want.
Everything. And let's talk about that lake of fire for a minute. I know you had Greg Nicotero on with Talking Dead, and he talked a little bit about how they did it. But isn't that just beautiful, spectacular filmmaking?
Yes. And they, you know, and people say, if all they have to do is light fires and let the zombies, why don't they just make big fires? Like, well, because you can't burn down everything all the time, and you can't really be wasting fuel all the time either. So that shot of walking into the fire as a way to get rid of the ones that they didn't, you know, chop up in the town square was gorgeous. I mean, it was just a beautiful episode. I had to stop halfway through and like take a breath, and then I literally at the end of the episode, I got in a bathtub and just stared at the ceiling. Like the show really does affect me emotionally, and I get stressed with each season because I feel like, oh my God, we're in season six. That means more people are going to die, and I don't know how close it's going to get to the center of the group, and it super stresses me out.
Yeah. Well, it was masterful, as I said. So we probably won't see this, but is your guess, Chris, that they, I mean, if this were real, they would just spend weeks just dragging all those bodies off into the woods and burying them or burning them or something like that and put the fence back up and go back to living in Alexandria, right?
That's exactly what they'd have to do. They would have to clean up first. They would have to build the walls as quickly as possible. And if what Rick is saying is true, build the walls out a little bit farther. But, you know, there are still, and I think it's the ad campaign that they were using was, you know, they were saying a larger world, you know. So we know that Negan's group is out there somewhere. They're probably not too happy that a bunch of their bikes and guns and dudes got blown up in the road. And then there's also wolves out there, which, you know, are unpredictable. The wolves are sort of the wild animals. Negan is kind of an army, so there's a lot of threats looming, and you never get more than a few minutes of comfort and safety on the show. But apparently, it just ramps up from here.
Is Carl 100% alive?
Let it go.
Do we know for like 100% he's alive?
I would say the odds are pretty good. Now, okay. You don't have confirmation. You know, you just saw his hand squeeze at the end.
Right. So he's still.
But he could still get an infection or something in the hospital, right?
Kevin, if it makes you feel better, yes. He could get an infection or a bee sting, and maybe he's really allergic to those, or I don't know. But
in a perfect world, fingers crossed.
I don't know why you dump on Carl.
He needs to die.
No one knows.
He needed to die from the first episode.
No one knows, Chris.
Sunday night was my night.
All right, listen. We're out of time. As it's obvious, if you're hearing us talk about this, that The Talking Dead is essential viewing every Sunday night on AMC right after The Walking Dead, because Chris has on all the guests from the show and fans of the show, and they talk about it, and they break it down, they show you lots of cool video. And you got Nathan Fillion on next Sunday. That's going to be great.
Yeah, we have Fillion on next Sunday, and we have really, you know, in the fall it's difficult to get cast members because they're shooting, but in the spring we have a ton of cast members coming up on Talking Dead. We're on right after Walking Dead. They preempted us a couple episodes last season, but we're on right after Walking Dead for the rest of the season, and then we're going rolling into Talking Fear the Walking Dead as well.
Exactly, right. Well, you do a great job of the show, as always, Chris. We know how busy you are. We appreciate you coming on. Good talk, man.
Yeah, I'll catch up with you on Talking Kevin and Bean right after.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll give you more tickets to see The Cure at their sold-out Hollywood Bowl show and be eligible for the trip to Rome, Italy, destination number 4, the K-Rock World Tour 2016. And it's not every day that a 2-time Olympic gold medalist is in the building, but we'll be talking to Shaun White as well. First, though, here's Ralph with the showbiz beat.
Easy within the building.
Oh, is he not here yet? I just assumed he was here or close.
You know what happens when you assume.
Yeah, I do, actually.
You can be often wrong.
Yeah, you can misrepresent the situation.
Right. Okay. Deadpool.
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 Chip texted me after
Deadpool.
After she got back, and she said, "I will probably see that movie 70 times in my life.
I could easily go back and watch it back to back to back. So much stuff is going on in that, and all of it is entertaining. And I think the real success of this film is the undercurrent of genuine emotion and humanity these characters have that you rarely see represented in this kind of film, certainly as effectively as it was in this.
But at the same time, the action is great action.
Yeah, but there's great action and in tons. There's great action in Transformers.
Right.
You know? A movie that you cannot sustain a film without characters you care about and without storylines that are well developed.
Right.
Look, whatever you're going to say, I just said it much better than you would. That's all I'm saying.
It's also funnier than any other movie like this that tries to be funny. At the same time, that's impressive. Back to you.
Yes.
I wanted to say that, and I'm going to say it.
You did. And we're all richer for it.
Thank you, Ralph.
It also made a lot of money on top of everything else.
Good.
$135 million domestically. $125 million internationally, bringing its grand total for its opening weekend to $260 million worldwide.
Whoa.
That's pretty good.
The biggest R-rated movie opening ever, surpassing The Matrix Reloaded, which came in at a paltry $92 million in its opening weekend.
Nothing.
The record for the largest R-rated comic book movie opening ever, Zack Snyder's 300, was the previous record holder with $71 million in its opening weekend. And I thought this was impressive. It's the top spot for 20th Century Fox's biggest opening ever.
Wow. Huh.
Beating Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, which made $108 million in its opening weekend. So,
it was successful or was not successful?
I'm saying some people went to see it.
Okay.
So congratulations to everyone connected with it. God's Perfect Fool. The hot chick, the British villain, the CGI character,
that's funny.
The asshats who produced it, the overpaid tool who directed it, and of course the writers, the real heroes of it.
Is that how they described
that's
the credits?
Opening credits?
It was
the opening credits of the film.
That's very awesome. Funny.
Which immediately, and from the opening credits, you know exactly what this movie is, and it just starts delivering minute one. And stick around for the after credits scene as well, by the way. It's very, very funny. Very.
I did not see the movie, as you know, Ralph. But
what a surprise. You didn't? I didn't go to
Deadpool, no.
When it comes to motion pictures.
But is this going to do... Look, Ryan Reynolds was already a big movie star. But is this going to amp his career up and make him A-list like it did for Chris Pratt after Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's just like, oh, this guy is everything?
I would beg to differ and say Ryan Reynolds was not a big movie star.
Really? He's been in a lot of big
He has been
movies?
In a lot of movies, but not many successful movies, and I would think he was struggling to find his place in the film industry, quite frankly, after a string of sort of disappointments. This, however, makes him a bona fide A-list movie star.
He was so
right out
great.
Of the gate. He's brilliant in it. It's the perfect marriage of character and actor, and he brings that genuine sympathy that you have to this character that could easily be lost with all the wisecracking and everything else that gets laid on top of this character. You see the real person underneath all of the smartassery, and that is no easy feat to accomplish. So kudos for him. All right, I'm out of time. So let's get right to celebrity birthdays. Rapper Ice-T, 58 years old today. Duran Duran guitarist Andy Taylor is 55. Actress Elizabeth Olsen is 27. Singer The Weeknd celebrates his 26th birthday today. I'm looking at how it's spelled right here, Kevin. It's W-E-E-K-N-D.
Right.
I know how to spell weekend.
But it said The Weeknd.
But it's spelled The Weeknd.
Right.
So, Kevin, your theory is that there's a silent E in there somewhere? I don't think there's any silent E's in the English language.
It said The Weeknd.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Ralph's looking at it.
If you want it to
know.
Be said The Weeknd, then why don't you spell it The Weeknd?
Why didn't you spell it? I'm just saying.
Let me go around saying, I spell my name C-A-R-L, but I would like to be called Steve. We're all going to live our lives that way now. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying that's how
so anarchy. That's what you're looking for. Freaking communist.
Yes.
Always knew it, man. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You would think that a guy who wins 23 X Game medals and 2 Olympic golds would know enough to put gas in his car. You would think that the kind of commitment and dedication to a craft would carry over into real life to the point where you could go, car will not go without fuel.
You would think he would be disciplined.
I would think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. A guy who pays attention to detail.
Right.
Guy who doesn't like surprises, wants to always be prepared for the task ahead. Sean White, what happened this morning?
You'd think I'd have people that do it for me.
Right, that too. Oh,
man. No, I just spaced. Well, last night was Grammy, so I had a bunch of friends hanging and ended up driving around to meet a bunch of different people. And then I was like, oh, well, I'll stay at this place that's nearby the radio station because you got to get up so early. And it wasn't closer. It was crazy. And I'm like, I can make it. I know it. I'm like on fumes getting here. But I made it. So.
But I hope you keep a skateboard in your trunk so that wherever you need to go, you can just finish the travel on a skateboard, right?
Yeah, of course.
Sure, right?
It's standard. I've had some funny scenarios, though.
Really?
I was in an old... old Porsche of mine, and the you know, engine started smoking. Something was wrong with it. It was really old. It's like a 65. And I remember getting out of the car, and I had just had brunch. It was like, I'm in dress shoes. And
this is
of
totally
course,
relatable so far.
Yeah. It's very – I'm painting the picture. So I get out of the car, it's smoking. I got to push it. Luckily, the Porsche dealer's like not too far. And all I remember is pushing the car. And I look over, I'm like, oh, the police. Like, there's these two cops, and they're just looking at me. I'm like, oh, they're going to come
help.
They're going to come help me.
Yeah.
Nope. He just pulled out his camera. He pulled out his phone and just started like, damn, it's Sean White pushing his Porsche on the I was like,
I got to be honest. He did the right thing.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He's like, look at this schmuck.
Did you go to some Grammy parties last night?
I did. I went to go see some friends at is it Mark Ronson?
Yeah.
He's having a fun
record of the year
event. Yeah,
pretty
congrats,
impressive.
Man.
That was cool. The right call. That Uptown Funk was the record of the year. I was so happy that won.
Yeah.
Did you hear that Paul McCartney got turned away at Tyga's party, Sean?
Say what?
Paul McCartney. Yeah. The bouncer guy said nope.
It's
Paul McCartney shows up with Beck and Taylor Hawkins to get into a Tyga party, and they say you're not on the list, and they send him away. No kidding.
It was at capacity. It's because I had just walked in.
Well, listen, you told him nobody
sorry,
else
Paul.
Comes in after me.
Right. I was like, shut it down.
It's always
like,
great.
Paul's like, shut it down.
It's always great to catch up with Sean. And I'm going to be completely honest. When you were here a year ago ahead of the first Los Angeles Aaron style event that you did at the Rose Bowl last year.
Yes.
And you started talking about all of the different events that were going on and the fashion and the art and the technology and the bands. And I thought, Sean is way over his head on this. There's no way this goes off. But damn it, here you are back for year two. This weekend at the Expo Park in LA Coliseum, what did you learn from putting on your first one, your first Aaron style last year, Sean, that's going to make this one even better?
Plenty of things. I mean, obviously, more bathrooms, more areas to get drinks. You know, we had a venue change, so we went from the Rose Bowl to the LA Coliseum, Expo Park, and it's just amazing. We had a little bit of a sound issue last time, not with the speakers, obviously, but just with the ordinance in the area, you know.
Right.
People were trying to get their rest or something, and we were pumping Diplo. So it's like, all right, we got to do this.
People live near the Rose Bowl.
Somewhere else, which is fine. You know, there's no hard feelings. But I'm so excited. The new venue's amazing. You know, we have J. Cole, Haim, Incubus, Big Grams, Cascade, all these huge music acts. So I'm pumped that they get to really turn up to the volume that they want to be. And, you know, we have the 16-story Big Air Jump, the world's best coming to compete, obviously. And these guys, we were just in we did our first stop in China, then we moved to Austria, and now this is the last event here in LA. So these guys are competing to win the whole tour. So they're throwing their hardest tricks.
All right, now tell me about that, Sean, because I was a little bit confused. So this is an actual competition. It's not just an exhibition.
No, it's a full-on competition and tour. So, you know, it was important to me to link it all together. Like, why does this, you know, why should people care? What's the importance? And it's definitely exciting to know that it's great for the sport as well as, you know, these one-off big events. You know, to have a tour winner, to have these guys that are working on tricks, trying new things, coming to the next event, and competing. And this discipline, it's called Big Air, so it's like one big jump, has just become an Olympic event.
Which is that right?
Huge. So these guys that you're watching are potentially going to the Olympics in a year or two.
And is there a limit to how high a Big Air should be?
Because every time I see one of these things, I can't believe it's higher than last time. And I yeah. think at some point you are just jumping out of a plane without a parachute.
16 stories.
Yeah.
So far.
I mean, come on.
No, it's just amazing. You know, the tricks are getting harder. They're getting more technical. And in order to actually do the tricks, you need more airtime. You need a bigger jump. It's actually safer when we make the jump bigger.
You tell yourself.
Yeah, at least we're convinced that that's what's happening.
No, seriously, guys. Yeah. It's safer for you.
It's going to be great. You're fine.
Now, at your Air and Style event this weekend, Expo Park, LA Coliseum, by the way, tickets on sale now at airandstyle.com. You don't compete, right? You just walk around with a suit.
No, I'm hanging. I mean, my band played last year. I'm in a band called Bad Things. We mm-hmm. we performed, which was really fun. But I don't know. It's just so much. I mean, like I said, like I'm putting the pieces together.
You're sort of the man. The you're walking around. You got the radio. And, you're yeah. putting out fires, right?
You know, we're meeting. There's like VIP guests and all these you know things to do. And so it's pretty rough to like compete as well as do that. But what's exciting is this event has grown, and we're actually going to do. Three more stops coming next season that will include Half Pipe and Snow Summit, and we've partnered with local resorts like Mammoth Mountain.
Oh, interesting.
I've partnered with Mammoth Mountain, Big Bear Resort, and you know we're doing this really fun thing. We're going to actually do Half Pipe and Slope Style, so that's something that I'll probably compete in next time around.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah, because yeah, so. I imagine a guy like you looks at that competition and goes, yeah, I have a lot of responsibility, but I sure would love to be on it.
Oh, I'm itching to jump, yeah, for yeah. sure. I'm sitting there like, okay. And then everybody's like, so you're going to jump? Like, I really want to.
I got to check out the bathrooms over here.
Yeah, totally.
We know about the you know the winter sports athletes and the music, and you mentioned some of the great artists like J. Cole and yeah. Travis Barker, by the way, is going to be there this year doing drums and DJ set. You got Incubus. You got the Struts, who we love. I mean, you really do have two stages, 20 bands. What is the art, fashion, and technology aspect of Air and Style this year?
You know, it's amazing. There's a bunch of different things. You know, technology, obviously we're trying to film with different drones and all sorts of things like that, and you know, like, you know, point of view cameras that we're using out there. But what was really exciting to me is the art side of things. There's I don't know, there's just so much going on there. It's super interesting, and just having displays and things like being built on site. So there's this artist that we're working with, his name's Bone Thrower. And the guy's incredible. He does these, like, huge, I guess, display pieces. They're, like, these huge, I don't even know how to describe them.
Kevin, wasn't that your porn name for a while, the Bone Thrower?
That's gross.
I think I remember you working under that name for some reason.
I was like, wait a minute.
Sure. So people just walk around, and it's just, like, so much to see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to say that the guy, he's colorblind. It's like really colorful pieces of work, and he's colorblind. And it made so much sense to me because I was like, why did he choose these colors? They're so bizarre. Like, his red to us is completely different.
Does he know that? Has someone told him that?
Yeah. Okay. No, we had to break
it
down.
Your art is awful, like,
dude. This is really
strange choices right
I just
here.
Love that.
What's
that,
going on?
That, like, anomaly of, you know, this guy's colorblind and he's an amazing artist and those kind of things, you know. Even for me to be a snowboarder coming from Southern California is a bizarre thing, you know. So I really like those.
On these installments there, or are they already done?
This particular artist is making things right now that will be on display at the show, but there are artists that will be there making, you know, creating live art.
Were you into that kind of thing before, or did you just add it to this?
I actually was, you know. At a young age, I had to, like, make board graphics for my pro model board, and I would, you know, just get this list of, you know, this pamphlet of artists, and I'd pick through them and go, oh, I really like this guy's work, I'm really into this, and then I would then ride that graphic through the whole year. I have, like, one of the graphics from my pro model, like, tattooed on my arm. It's really a cool thing to do that, you know, like old skating skaters have their own Tony Hawk and has a, like, eagle skull and those things. So it's very kind of iconic to who you are and what you're about, and so that translated as I got older. I was like, wow, well, you know, these artists are really cool. There's such a cool scene, especially in downtown L.A. I mean, it's where a lot of these artists are from.
Do they ever come to you and say, hey, this person is a great artist and you should put him in there? And you go, I don't know, I'm not really feeling it. And they go, trust me, we know what we're talking about. Put him in.
Sometimes. I mean, that's what's tough is, like, even the music lineup, you know, you got to sit there and go, okay, well, do I back this band? Do I support this group? Like, is this something I like? You know, and obviously you don't want to cater just to your own sound and taste, you know. Obviously, you know, you want people to come and all walks of life to come enjoy the music. But yeah, I definitely kind of, like, put my input. I'm like, this guy's He's finger painting over here.
Come on, we can't have this.
I can do
we
that.
We can't have this.
Well, it really is a one of a kind event. Although it's not really, because as you mentioned, it's already played in China and Austria. So yeah, it's not one of a kind at all. But for our listeners,
one of a kind for LA.
It's the one chance this year to see this awesome event. Two stages, 20 bands, 20 of the best winter athletes in the world. Mm-hmm. Tons of Olympians, by the way, are going to be performing. Like you said, art, fashion, technology, the whole deal. Tickets available right now at airandstyle.com. Mm-hmm. They're on sale right now. And it's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, Expo Park and LA Coliseum. Anything we've left out that you're excited about that we don't know about yet? You want to mention, Charlie?
You know what's cool, and this is something that I made sure to have on, you know, for this time around, is that kids under 10 get in for free to the event, and there's a whole kind of like experience area where you can go learn to snowboard. We have, you know, really experienced coaches from Mammoth, Big Bear, Bear
cool.
Mountain coming down to show people what the sport's like, so you can come in, you know, with the paid adult, you know, your kids can actually see what's possible, the pros doing their thing, try snowboarding, and then hopefully they take up a board and go to the mountain, and kind of like refreshing the sport. I really thought that was important because I got my start in the same way. I randomly showed up at the mountain and tried snowboarding, fell in love with it, and here I am today. So it's kind of like...
You fell on your ass a bunch.
Yeah,
though.
I did.
Started,
I did a lot of it.
A lot, but then you learned.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well for him in the end.
Then I went under the alias Bone Thrower.
I mean, the only downside, I guess, is there'll be no more snow in the world in about 10 years. So go ahead and get out there while you can, right? Airandstyle.com is where you get your tickets, Sean. Sounds like a super fun time, man.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for sharing it with us.
Going to be great. See you guys there.
Thank you, man. Allie, you got to help me here. Kevin has to move on from Stevie Wonder and the teleprompter, right? He can't still be talking about that.
He has not stopped.
Kevin, Stevie Look, Wonder is blind, right. First of all.
So okay. Why?
Because he was on stage with Pentatonix,
right.
And they needed to see the script that was approved ahead of time so they knew where to jump in and do their lines with Stevie Wonder.
I'm just saying that Stevie Wonder did 99% of the talking, and it was all up there.
He's still blind.
Maybe I don't understand exactly what's going on. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:43.
Is it possible, Ralph, that Muggs is better than ever?
Yes.
I mean,
like all the
seriously.
Greats, he improves.
You would think that a guy like that must have peaked years ago, but
that's
I think
ridiculous.
He's...
ridiculous. Picasso wasn't the genius he was when he first picked up the brush.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
He developed. He went through different periods, and then he became a master. That's what we're right in front of our eyes. We're watching it happen.
We are lucky to be alive at the same time that Beer Mug is doing interviews. That's
golden
for sure.
Age.
I enjoyed that very much. All right, time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. Kevin Bean Show, what you got?
Before I beat you, let me give you something. How many times have you heard that, huh, Allie?
Twice today.
Yeah. I've got passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Gods of Egypt.
Yay!
Do you have to say it that
you
way?
Have a, you have any reverb? Can you give me a little special effect? Give me a little something
Absolutely.
Here? Okay, hold on. God. I meant by, could I have it? I meant actually on the microphone.
How's that?
Maybe not at this point.
Is that too much? Or
I'm just saying this wouldn't be the point part to do it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Asshole.
All right, I'm ready.
I have a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Gods of...
Now
it's
I don't
there?
Hear it. Where
oh,
was it?
You're the worst. Why did you say
there?
That?
That's it?
You want
had
more
it
now?
Way better before.
No, he said it was too much. All right.
No, I was saying it was at the wrong time. I was just speaking conversationally, and you put an effect on my voice.
Is this the level you want?
That is the level I want,
okay.
But I would like to have it when I announce the title of the film.
Okay, take three.
It's still on. I have a... Once again, it's still on.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
I have a pair of passes. Nope, not yet.
That was too
okay,
early.
Like, what
yes,
did you wait for me?
Wait for the title.
Oh, you're going to point
I'll
at
point
me?
To
okay.
You.
Okay. A pair. A pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Gods of Egypt.
Yay!
I think that worked well.
Nailed it, Kevin.
All right, you can turn it off now because I'm done saying the title.
Okay.
That will not make the highlights. This movie looks awesome. Gerard Butler, just gods and immortals and giant creatures and, and things and fist up in Egypt, right?
I guess.
Our screening is happening at the AMC Burbank 16 on February the 24th. You get to see Gods of Egypt. It's in theaters everywhere on the 26th, but you will be one of the lucky few who get to see it early if you call me right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers who get through with that phone number will win a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Gods of Egypt.
You worked it out.
Look at that. Like a well-oiled machine.
Right?
Yeah. Well, Bean, you're not alone. Not everyone was blown away by Lady Gaga's tribute to David Bowie at the Grammys last night.
Oh, really? Because generally I've seen very positive reviews. I did not agree.
I watched it, and it was...
amateurish, I thought.
I thought it looked like a performance at a college talent night.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
A good one.
A good one. But she good probably one. Would win
right.
the talent contest. She probably would be the representative of the Alpha Phi sorority or something, and she would get the cup and maybe a gift certificate for Red Lobster or something, whatever the prize was.
Sure. Look, I like Lady Gaga and thought she was an appropriate choice to do the Bowie tribute. I was just really underwhelmed by what she brought us.
Because she was trying to do, like, a Bowie impression at times and all. Mm-hmm. It was very
sort of weird.
Odd to me.
Did you feel it was Liza Minnelli doing a Bowie impression?
There was a little. It was Minnelli-esque. It was Liza-ish.
All right.
I didn't like it.
Anyway, David Bowie's son, Duncan Jones, a.k.a. Zoe Bowie, took to social media on Monday night talking about the performance by Lady Gaga. He posted this tweet, actually, which is kind of funny. He said, "Overexcited or irrational, typically as a result of infatuation or excessive enthusiasm, mentally confused." Damn it, what is that word? He tweeted. That is the dictionary definition of Gaga. The word Gaga. See what he did there? Was he set you up and then he knocked you down. And he was not apparently overjoyed with her performance.
Okay, you were born Stephanie Jeremiah. Why did you change your name? How did you come up with Lady Gaga?
It's a question we're all asking, I think. Congratulations to Deadpool. Boy, this movie just was terrific. I can't say enough good things about it, and everyone seemed to agree. It broke all kinds of box office week records over the long weekend. I was surprised to hear, it's the number one grossing movie ever for a 20th Century Fox movie.
Wow.
Star Wars Episode III Revenge of the Sith was the previous record holder with $109 million in its opening weekend. This one grossed domestically $135 million. I mean,
that's crazy huge.
In a February weekend?
Yeah. For R-rated? Yeah.
For an R-rated film? Kind of nuts. Although,
yeah, this isn't Toy Story or something.
I think they're checking IDs.
Really?
Because at the screening I was at.
A lot of young people?
There was about 8 12-year-olds that I wanted to hit in the back of the head with a ball-peen hammer. A lot of chatter was going on during the film.
It made $125 million internationally. That means it pulled in $260 million worldwide in its opening weekend. Madness.
So your friends that we had in on Friday that wrote the
Paul
movie...
Paul and Rhett, yes.
...have changed their phone numbers and you won't be able to contact them again?
Ha! Ha! I'll have you know, Rhett Reese, my buddy, who was half of the writing team for this feature film, let me know he's going to come to see Hollywood Babylon this Friday night.
Is that right?
He's going to come on by and check out the
podcast. So he's still pretending that he's going to stay friends with you despite the success of this movie. Okay.
He is friends with me.
Bean lives in a world where everyone would leave as soon as they possibly could.
Everyone immediately cuts bait with everyone they know with the first sign of success.
That's his dream.
That is his dream.
Well, I'm just not used to people voluntarily wanting to stay friends with you. That's all.
Yeah.
And by you, I mean me.
Right. We know. So then say me instead of you next time.
Well, I'm just wondering if it's the same for everybody. That's all.
Let me fill that in for you.
Sounds like it.
Speaking of Babylon, Friday night, Kevin Smith and I doing that show again at the Improv on Melrose. We'd love to have you come out and join us.
No.
You can go to improv.com to get your tickets for Friday night show. We'll talk Deadpool and other things.
Nobody really cares if you don't go to the party.
Well, I do.
Wow.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. The singer, The Weeknd, I'm being told. Weeknd is how it's pronounced.
I've been saying that all day.
Yeah, but I don't.
Have you?
I don't trust you.
What?
I had to talk to someone else.
Was it Dave?
Dave helped me in. Because Dave, when I go to pronunciations, I go to Dave because he's
Well, his specialty is vowels.
Yeah, he's spot on. The weekend's 26 years old today. Elizabeth Olsen celebrates her 27th birthday. Andy Taylor, guitarist for the legendary band Duran Duran, celebrates his 55th birthday. And Ice-T, actor, rapper Ice-T is 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have the People versus OJ, a recap like we do. We have Annabeth Gish in studio talking X-Files. And we have Norman Reedus, who plays Daryl on The Walking Dead, in our studios tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.